talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Oh, company all over me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear. Oh. Oh, now you're talking. Go on.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear some more.
Oh, the best. What? Yeah.
And that's
an effective line.
Oh,
yeah. Ebony, what? Yes, exactly.
That's
dear God.
I know my taco's delicious.
I know.
Now here's the part where I'm supposed to say we have a great show for you tonight. I can't say that. I love it's a great show. You know. Secondly, why raise expectations? What I should be saying is the show's so-so. It's good. You can be surprised.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Monday, the 8th of February.
It's going to be a great show.
I'm not sure.
What?
People need to wake up to that.
No.
To what? Larry David talking about the show?
No, that lady making those noises.
That lady?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was pretty turned on for this hour
pretty
of the
happy.
Day.
I'll tell you that. I don't think we need that.
She was pretty happy.
Oh. Nope. Ah.
She does make a lot of noises.
Very lucky.
There you go. All right. We got a lot of stuff we got to talk about today. First of all, Super Bowl.
So that happened.
And this is a serious question. I consider myself a football fan. I consider myself a guy who enjoys watching the sport. I don't know nearly as much about it as a lot of other people, but I've watched thousands of games in my life, and I feel like I enjoy it. So why is it so difficult to enjoy excellence in defense?
Yeah. It's boring. It just is.
But why? Why can't we appreciate that there are great athletes out there doing their jobs brilliantly instead of going, it's no fun if we're not watching a bunch of people run up the scoreboard? Explain the psychology of that to me, because are we just saying that offense is way more important than defense?
No, it's just more exciting to watch. I mean, obviously, defense was the most important thing yesterday for the Broncos, but you're right. It doesn't get eyeballs. People don't go, there's a great defensive battle on. Turn it on right now.
Yeah.
Do you think psychologically we want to see people win, and winning is the running, the throwing, all of that? But when we see defense, it's people losing and they're not able to be their best?
But I mean, I think that's exactly my point, is I think that we look at that and in our minds we think, oh, the Panthers aren't doing very well, instead of thinking, oh, the Broncos are doing great.
Von Miller's slaying out
there. We tend to focus on the people who are failing instead of the people who are succeeding. And I just find that so curious.
Interesting.
And I'm trying to figure out why. You know, I think it was was it Bear Bryant who said that defense wins championships, but offense sells tickets? And that pretty much sums it up.
Absolutely.
You know, there's nothing to celebrate. I mean, I guess if you're a Broncos fan, you celebrate every time you sack Cam Newton or rush him or every turnover. I guess you do have something to celebrate, but it doesn't seem like it's the kind of celebration that you get when you score a touchdown. And those were few and far between yesterday, that's for sure. Were you guys surprised to see how shut down Carolina was, seeing what they did to your Cardinals, Kevin, and what they did to my Seahawks?
Yep, very.
I mean, the Broncos really are that good.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Well, the defense really is that good.
That's part of the Broncos, though, isn't it?
They scored 24 points, though.
Yeah, they did.
Yes, they did.
Why do you say it like that, Allie?
They did. I'm just saying that the defense won the game. Let's not pretend anything else.
No, I think everybody agrees the defense won the game, but they're part of the Broncos. I think the Broncos
Absolutely, as a
team, as an organization, gets the credit for winning the Super Bowl, right?
No, just the defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
Deion Sanders on the NFL Network said that he, by the way, was one of the few commentators to pick the Broncos. He said, I would never pick against the number one defense in the NFL. And this is, I thought this was interesting. I'm a defensive player. Most of the people on television are former offensive players who are offensive-minded. So he's suggesting that they have a bias toward the offense. And that's why so many of them were quick to pick Carolina when he said he thought all along that Denver was going to win.
Interesting.
Makes sense.
These stats, by the way, listen to this, and we won't get too deep into the weeds here. We got a lot of other stuff to talk about in terms of the Super Bowl that's not football related, so stick around. The Panthers were 3-for-15 on third down attempts. The Broncos were 1-for-14 on third down attempts. How could you, if you saw that a team was 1-for-14 on conversions, would you ever imagine that they would win and win big?
No, not at all.
There were only 32 first downs in the entire game. The Broncos had 194 yards of total offense, the fewest of any Super Bowl winner ever. There were 6 turnovers. The Panthers were sacked 7 times. The two teams were sacked a combined 5 times. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. You look at this and you just go, what a mess, right?
Yeah, it was.
And it seemed like it was 20 hours long, didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's longer than a normal game because the halftime is so long, but it seemed like it was noon when it came on and it was bedtime when it ended.
Well, yes, it did, absolutely. And part of the reason is because the Panthers had a penalty on every play.
Yes.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a lot
another
of penalties.
Penalty. Okay, 5 yards, another penalty, another penalty.
Did you guys notice, like, after the first down, Jim Nantz was like, and coming up, we're almost at the halftime
yes.
show. I'm like, wait, what?
They said that at the beginning of the game, halfway through the first
it
quarter.
Was bizarre.
Don't go anywhere. Right around the corner.
Half-time coming up
show.
Next.
Hey, halftime show. I'm like, there's still 12 minutes in the first quarter.
So weird.
What do you suppose that's about? I mean, are they just trying to pump it up so that people don't leave at halftime to kind of get them prepped for, hey, something great's going to happen, so don't walk the dog during the halftime or something?
Somebody on my Twitter commented that, well, it is CBS and they tend to have old viewers, so everything is almost about to happen.
That's possible.
I thought that was so sad.
That's possible.
And so true.
All right. Well, we can leave it right there for now, but there, like I said, there's so much more to talk about. I know, Allie, you're very upset at Peyton Manning again. I know that. A lot of people are very upset with what Cam Newton did after the game. We got to talk about that. We got to talk about the national anthem. We got to talk about the commercials. We got to talk about got to talk about the halftime show with Maroon 5. Got to discuss that. Because they were good. Because they're my jam. Oh, wait. I'm sorry, Taraji. They're actually called Coldplay. So I guess we'll talk about all of that stuff.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You, simply put, are a short-sighted, utterly useless, oxygen-wasting human form of pollution. A Darwin Award-deserving, selfish coward. If your brain was donated to science, science would return it.
All right. On the program today, we are going to talk about Kung Fu Vagina, which is a thing.
Finally!
Which is a new movie that comes out this Friday. I'm looking forward to.
I hope Jack Black does a voice on it.
That's coming up this morning. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ. We have Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. Speaking of the Super Bowl, we got a
What? I was thinking about Andrew, how exhausted he must be because there was never a time where he was not on my NFL Network this weekend. What about our producer, Dave? Was he at the game last night?
He was.
And is he here today? Did he drive through the night to get here?
I haven't seen him yet.
Okay, so we don't know if he's here
yet. I don't know his schedule. I know
he's not here yet.
He's not here yet, I'm being told.
Is he driving in currently, or did he fly back last night? Does anyone know?
I think he was flying.
I don't know. Why? Why?
I don't know. I was just surprised that he was coming into work today after being at the Super Bowl in another city last night. That's all. And I knew that he didn't say anything to anyone about not being here today. So I was just wondering how he was going to work it out.
I think he's just going to not be here, but not give anyone a heads up.
Okay. That sounds like the Dave we know and love.
And also, Stone Temple Pilots are looking for a new lead singer. And we've got the DeLeo brothers in studio today. Excited about that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 5:54.
Got Clippers tickets you can win on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we'll hook you up with, at 9 o'clock, K-Rock's Grammy Party with Death Cab for Cutie. They're going to do an intimate performance on Saturday night ahead of the Grammys at LA Live. If you love Death Cab, you'll want to be around for that. That's at 9 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
How was your weekend, man?
It was awesome.
Are you back in the pink? You feeling better?
No. But
all right.
better. Just to sick. Better. That sucks. Still better, but still sick.
Yeah. Still fighting it.
I think you guys should really look into arena football. That sounds like it would be the best football for you guys.
Just what it's like 74
listening
to
this
60.
Morning. Yeah, you guys should just go watch that. Just leave the NFL to those who select like football. You guys just go watch arena, because then you'd be really happy, and I wouldn't have to hear, defense football's boring.
I wasn't complaining that it was boring. I was questioning No, I wasn't.
I was. I said it was boring.
Did you hear what I said, Ralph? Yep. I'm trying to understand why I can't appreciate it as much as I feel like I should, because it's half the game, and I should have loved yesterday's game because we saw some of the greatest defensive play ever.
Yes.
Why didn't I? Help me. School me, Ralph.
That's on you, son. Of all the places to start fixing you, that's really at the bottom of the list.
All right, so if you're a more enlightened football fan.
I'm not saying I'm enlightened. I'm just saying I enjoyed the game in total, and I loved the game yesterday. I love watching great defenses, because great defense is so much harder in the NFL than great offense is. Think of how many games you see where teams just light it up. Tons of touchdowns, big running plays, lots of pitch and catch. It happens all the time.
And it's whoever has the ball at the end wins. Absolutely. Because everyone scores all the time.
Great defense is so difficult.
Hard.
You see how many sacks there were? Both D's were great yesterday.
You know what? I have to stop you. This has become boring.
Yeah, talking about defense is boring to Kevin. Yeah. I'm saying arena football would be just your jaw.
Don't be so boring.
That would be your jaw. Love great D. It's so lacking in today's NFL. I love just smash mouth, grind it out. Just tough D play. It's so impressive.
There's a dullness about you. There's a dullness about you.
To get to the quarterback that often, with that O-line especially, just a tremendous achievement.
Impressive, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying.
I was so... bored.
Not for me.
Allie, you love a good D, though, right?
Ralph loves the D.
We just found out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love Tenacious D.
Do you?
I love, yeah. It was a great game. And how about that Gaga national anthem?
Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that just after 6. That's one of the subjects on the rundown here.
Boy.
Incredible.
I was blown away.
Incredible.
One of the best ever, I think.
I agree.
Did you win your bet, Kevin?
Yes.
Oh, good for you.
I was just thinking, I don't even remember if it was good or bad. I was just watching the clock.
The timer.
Come on.
I know you like to bet.
You're a good American.
On the national anthem. Once again, a true football purist.
So
betting on the song.
So you weren't standing with your hand over your heart, Kevin? Instead, you were looking at the clock?
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
Sure.
It's Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Kung Fu Panda, once again, comes in at number one with $21 million. Hail Caesar debuted, modest debut with $11.4 million. It's hard to open on Super Bowl weekend. A lot of people not going anyplace or doing anything.
Any of you guys see that?
No.
Hail Caesar, I haven't seen it yet, no.
Okay.
Plus, we had Close-Em-Again, so you couldn't really
easily.
It was difficult. The Revenant was third. Star Wars Force Awakens came in at number four. The Choice was number five. Then Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. A lackluster opening weekend of $5 million made it number six. The Finest Hours, Ride Along, The Boy, and Dirty Grandpa. Rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to one of my favorite Hollywood couples, Rose Byrne and Bobby Cannavale. Welcomed a new baby boy to the world. It is Rose's first child, Cannavale's second. He was previously married to actress and screenwriter Jenny Lumet, and they had one son, Jake. But this is a new baby for Bobby named Rocco. There's
Rocco.
A kid. There's a kid for you. Rocco Cannavale. Hey, Rocco, how you doing? Hey, Rocco, go get the subs. We're going to have a sandwich. What do you say, Rocco? Love it. And one of the astronauts, Edgar Mitchell, died this week. The sixth human ever to walk on the moon.
This is a colossal disaster.
Yeah. Apparently died a few years ago. No one just bothered to check.
Come on.
Edgar Mitchell. Famous astronaut.
He is a famous astronaut.
Sure. I remember when I was a kid, me and my friends would say, oh, who gets to be Edgar Mitchell? I'm going to be Neil Armstrong. Who are you going to be? I'll be Buzz Aldrin. Oh, darn it. I wanted to be Edgar Mitchell, legendary spaceman Edgar Mitchell.
There's only 12 men who have ever walked
on
the moon.
But that doesn't mean we've heard of Edgar Mitchell. Yeah.
Well, you were alive when Apollo 14 went to the moon, Ralph.
Right?
Sorry. Got nothing here. Just say. Right. Just pops and buzzes. Got nothing. I consider myself a space fan, but why can't I get excited when Edgar Mitchell's name is mentioned? Today's celebrity birthdays. Seth Green. How much do we love Seth Green?
All.
Love my boy Seth Green. 42 years old today. John Williams, the composer. He's 84. He's done a couple soundtracks.
You think?
One or two.
He works. He works consistently in this business. Paramore bassist Jeremy Davis. Oh, Dave's not even here, and I'm getting Paramore bassist names on my birthday list. Vince Neil from Motley Crue is 55. Cicely Strong on Saturday Night Live. She's so talented. I think she's just super funny. 32 years old. Creed Bratton. Creed from The Office.
Oh, he's the best.
I love Creed. He's 73. John Grisham is 61. Actress Mary Steenburgen celebrates her 63rd birthday. And Nick Nolte. Oh, Nick. Oh, Nick, how we love you. He's 75 years old today. Happy birthday, Nick.
I'm going to get a candle. Blow it out.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Super Bowl 50. Lady Gaga, wearing a tracksuit, steps up to the mic.
Say, can you see?
Listen to that voice.
The dawn's early light. What's so proud?
I'll tell you something else. I was very distracted by the bizarre pantsuit she was wearing.
Yeah, you just said tracksuit. What are you talking about?
Well, whatever it was. It was
a blazer.
It was
a
onesie.
A pair of slacks.
I don't know. It just was dumb. But
I
then
don't
she
think
had,
it was a onesie.
No.
Whatever it was.
It was a suit.
I don't know anything about clothes. But my point is, she was wearing this weird sparkly red thing with the weird sparkly. I mean, Gaga, you know, she always looks weird. And she had bizarre, like, Hunger Games hair and stuff. And I was kind of distracted by that, and I thought her performance was pretty good. Mm-hmm. But then I went back and watched it again after the game when I was laying down this audio, and I started listening to it, and I thought, my God, is she a great singer. That was really an unbelievably impressive performance. And, Kevin, I want to hear how it works with you, like with the bet on the time. What was the time, the over-under? Was it 220?
It was 220 in the past. I think it was 213 or something like that.
Oh, it was 213 yesterday. So you had money on the over. And if I remember correctly, you talked about that on Friday. And you said, big stage, don't want to let that moment go. Going to milk it for everything it's worth. So you thought she was going to showboat it at the end.
Yes, I did. Yes,
all
I
right.
did.
We're getting up to the part at the end. And I want to know how happy you were when she added an extra brave at the end. Because who does that? Who changes the lyrics of the national anthem? You know what I'm talking about?
Except for somebody who's trying to really, really, really take advantage of that moment.
All right, here's the big finish.
Oh, the land of the free.
And you're so happy right now. She is Whitney-ing it up, isn't she?
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
So, you think she's done at this point. That's the last word of the song. Oh, wait. She adds one more on for good measure, just to make sure Kevin gets paid.
It's pretty sweet.
And then the flyby.
So, at my party,
the flyby.
It was like, a minute 35, a minute 40, a minute 45.
Nice. Real nice.
Because I'm a great American.
Yes.
That's and now, right. To honor America, let's count the seconds in the national anthem. Who was Marley Matlin, Academy Award winning actor and famous deaf celebrity? Who was she signing the America the Beautiful for?
I think they always do that.
Yeah, I do too, but I don't know.
Who for whom, though?
Because they weren't,
Allie, because they weren't showing it on the TV. Was she hoping that there were deaf people sitting directly in front of her?
And that's who she was
citing? I mean, why were they doing it? What was the point of it if it wasn't being received by anyone?
I don't know, unless maybe they were putting it online or something. I don't know. I don't know who she was doing it for.
Okay. All right. That was one of my questions from yesterday.
Okay.
You really focus.
You have a lot of
Well, I pay attention. That's
right.
All.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Thing three is, what if you were the invited guests to sing at the Super Bowl? You were the halftime entertainment show, and people barely noticed you were there because your guest stars completely overshadowed you.
That was weird.
What if that happened? What if Coldplay was on for like a minute, and then it was a Beyonce concert?
Yeah, that did happen, and I don't know why. I guess I don't know why, but I like Coldplay. They were fine. They were great. They're perfectly fine. I like Beyonce.
Uh huh.
Fine, but why were they there?
Coldplay barely registered in that halftime show, and it's weird because obviously they had the most minutes, and they were the advertised featured act that was going to be performing. It was their show. And they came out, and they put a lot of effort into it, and they were enthusiastic and fun, and they played well. But then it was almost like – I guess what happened was this. This is my theory. I don't know if you were as obsessed with the new Beyonce song, Ali, as I was over the weekend. But from the minute it came out on Saturday, I was like, oh, my God, this thing is so great. And the anticipation started building because you knew Beyonce was going to be a featured guest on the halftime show yesterday. So you're thinking, I wonder if she's going to do this new song. And she comes out and she does this phenomenal new song. And it was almost like something new and exciting that we hadn't seen before. And that kind of took some of the shine off of, you know, four-year-old Viva La Vida or whatever. I think that was part of it. And she's just so captivating. I mean, you just can't take your eyes off of Beyonce, you know.
Right.
Look.
That's how I feel.
Say what you will about Coldplay, though, but they're a rock band who is playing instruments, and Chris is doing his little running around the stage thing. But it's not the same as Beyonce doing those tight, choreographed, you know, dance moves and everything like that. I mean, it's more of a show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she just came in and just stole that. And whole then, performance.
And then Bruno Mars came on and played a song that was 2 years old.
Yes. Maybe. Yes. And I didn't have – I don't care.
I like them both, but it just didn't make any sense to me why all three were there.
I didn't understand Bruno Mars and Mark Ronson being there at all. When Beyonce was announced as a guest, it made sense because she's on a song on the Coldplay album. And
right.
I thought that was going to be what she would be doing originally before we knew she had her own new song. I thought she's going to come out and she's going to sing her part on that Hymn for the Weekend Coldplay song. And I thought that totally makes sense to have her there, right? I didn't understand forcing in Bruno Mars doing the Uptown Funk. Like, what was that about?
Bruno Mars was my favorite out of
yeah.
all of them. I thought he was
great.
He was the best.
He was great.
They should just have Bruno Mars do every halftime.
I would be okay with that. Here's the thing. I think when they announced Coldplay originally, there was a lot of blowback. People were like, oh, Coldplay, they're going to suck. This is going to be horrible. And the NFL went, oh, it is our 50th. What do we do? And it appeased people that were like, well, Beyonce and Bruno Mars are going to be there. It's fine. I'm going to watch. I think that was what they were going with. And it sucks that Coldplay got caught in that because we all love them. We think they're great.
They definitely took a backseat.
Absolutely,
yeah,
they did. And I think they were told to take a backseat.
And I'll tell you something else that was weird to me, and I appreciate that they tried to make some nod to great halftime performances of the past. This was the 50th anniversary, as you mentioned, Alan. They wanted to make a nod to, hey, remember Bruce Springsteen? Hey, remember Tom Petty? Hey, remember The Who? Hey, remember, you know, all the other shows that they've had in the past. Curiously, Janet Jackson, not included, by the way.
Noticed that.
But I didn't feel like that was a very effective tribute the way they did it. I mean, how were they doing? Were they putting something up on the screens?
Yeah, he was playing Fix You, and then mm-hmm. you're seeing these. I'm like, is this an in memoriam? What are these people dead?
Yes.
It was so weird.
It was not effective at all.
No.
And I know, and by the way, let me just also say this about Coldplay, and I know I'm all over the place here, but they did not benefit much by having to perform in daylight either.
No.
That was not to their credit, to their favor, I mean, because a lot of other shows have been able to do a lot of way cooler things because it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
And Coldplay didn't have that. But I didn't understand. I mean, putting those images up on the screen and they didn't match the music that was happening at the same time was just super weird. I mean, it just didn't seem like it was
thrown together.
Yeah, it didn't work.
But
it didn't work.
But I also have lower expectations of halftime at the Super Bowl. I always feel like people expect that to be so great, and it, most of the time it just doesn't translate.
I think I lowered mine a long time ago, and maybe that's why I was so impressed with Katy Perry last year.
And with Beyonce a couple of years ago, by the way, who put on a great halftime show.
Yeah, but I mean, it's halftime of a football game still, though.
Yeah.
Right.
So
well, let's be honest. No one's been good since Prince.
Oh, I don't think so. I think Bruno Mars. I thought Beyonce. I thought Springsteen. I thought they were all great. I did.
So I'll put you down as a yes.
All right, Kevin. We only have a minute here, but you have a commercial that you can't stop talking about.
Well, puppy monkey baby.
Of course.
Come on.
This happened. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, this is Kevin's commercial.
This happened before the game. I don't even know what the product is. I just
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew. Okay.
Man, I might just chill tonight.
Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby.
Who come? I want whatever the people that came up with this concept, I want what they have. Whatever they're smoking, I want some of it because it's just awesome.
Kevin is so tickled right now. I wish you could.
It was terrifying, and all it made me think is, look, God bless Mountain Dew. It's a great beverage, but it's nothing but chemicals, right? It is nothing but chemicals.
How dare you?
I worry that that's the baby you have if you drink too much Mountain Dew.
Oh, please.
I do. That's
really?
All
this
I
is a serious concern of yours that somebody's going to have a puppy monkey baby?
Not serious, but that's what crossed my mind is, oh, my God, if I'm Mountain Dew, I wouldn't be promoting the birth defects that are likely to happen if I drink their
what
beverage.
What is wrong with you?
I'm just saying.
You don't have a fun bone in your body. They don't mean anything serious by it. What's wrong with you?
I will not allow it.
Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby.
He's like, people should think about this before they drink a lot of that soda and then
See?
Have a puppy monkey baby.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, good.
Puppy monkey baby.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:25.
Dude, I'm having nightmares with the puppy monkey baby. Stop playing that.
He loves it.
Let's go to the TMZ.com newsroom. Our friend Harvey Levin. Hey, Harvey.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, man. Hey, did any of your staff go to the Super Bowl last night and just not show up for work today, or is that just us and our producer, Dave?
You know what? I haven't really done roll yet, roll call, but people did go. And
yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm seeing there are people missing.
Yeah. Ah, interesting. You know, Allie had the greatest idea in the world first thing this morning. Allie, share it with Harvey and see if maybe Harvey can get it going on TMZ.
Perhaps you could let me know what that is.
What are you talking about?
Super Bowl Saturday.
Yes, why?
That's the idea, Super Bowl Saturday. How much better would that be for everybody?
We need a day off after, Harvey. Aren't you with me?
I think Super Bowl Saturday is a great idea.
Thank you.
It is.
Thank you.
Everyone's dragging.
I
mean, yeah, it's not like they're taking, I mean, you know technically they're.
I know what it is. I know what it is. 50 years ago. When somebody came up with the idea, who knew that everybody would make it an excuse to get wasted?
Yeah. No, you're probably right about that.
They should have, but
they did it on Sunday and they just kept it.
Yeah. But I mean, it's the teams still have 13 days to rest. It's not like you're impacting the play of the game by moving it up one day. Super Bowl Saturday is a great idea, Harvey, and we're putting it on you to make that happen for next year.
And at the very least, make Monday a national holiday if
that's
fine
too.
Move it.
Or both.
I got to tell you, though, what did you guys think?
About what? The game?
Yeah.
Well, we were discussing that defensive games, while impressive, are not as much fun to watch as high-scoring games. Absolutely.
Not as much fun to watch.
Yes.
I mean, it's actually, Charles is listening, kind of. He can hear me. I'm going to say something. He's going to just come out of his, he's going to throttle me when I
okay.
say this.
Good.
I think Lady Gaga rivaled Whitney Houston. He's coming over. He's coming.
I agree. Throttle him, Charles. Throttle him.
He's coming over.
It was look. We talked about that this morning already. It was a great performance.
It was amazing.
It was over. That's all I care about. It was over.
Yeah, Kevin was betting on the time. But you know what, Harvey? And this is important to mention as you're making that distinction. Whitney lip synced. Hers was recorded in a studio. Now, how do you feel about Gaga doing hers live?
Wait a minute. I didn't know that.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yes, she did. She lip synced it.
Well, this was live, right?
This was live. Yeah, like Lady Gaga was live, so I think she gets some points there.
Charles is out of his seat, and he's turning like in circles right now. He's so mad.
Is Charles insane because it's...
He's really mad right now.
All right, listen, let's change topics. I want to talk about, at least if we have time, one thing on the site that I found interesting at TMZ, and that is the real-world effect of this FX O.J. Simpson miniseries that debuted last Tuesday night that we all watched. I was thinking as I was watching this, O.J.'s house on Rockingham is gone. It doesn't exist anymore, right? They tore it down. What about Nicole Brown Simpson's house where she was murdered?
Well, it's still there. They ended up changing the it's a condo. And remember, they ended up changing the numbers on the house. It used to be 875 Bundy. But, boy, I never forget that or what. But they changed the numbers just to throw people off because they were having so many looky-loos kind of overrun the place. But it's happening again, and people are coming by just because, you know, the FX show is popular now. But, you know, they have – this is – you know, kind of a staple on many people's bucket list when they come to L.A. They want to see this because
that's a weird
wrong with
that's
people.
A weird ass bucket list,
right? Let's go over and see where she was murdered.
I don't think it's a weird bucket list because people look at iconic places all the time when they come here, and when you think about it, I mean, people quit their jobs, you know, during the trial because they didn't want to be away from the television set. I mean, it just riveted the country. So, you know, there was a reason back then it was impossible to even drive on Bundy because of all of the people coming by. It was impossible to drive on Bundy.
Harvey, what were you doing at the time of the OJ trial?
What was I doing?
Yeah, I mean, what was your job then?
Well, it was my life. I was a reporter with CBS in Los Angeles, and that's what I covered the case. And I covered it from morning until night. My whole life was defined by the trial for 3 years.
Oh, my God. That was for 3 years your job was covering the OJ trial. No,
yeah,
what?
Because between the criminal and civil case, it was 3 long years.
And what do you think now that the miniseries is on? I mean, do you feel like you're back in combat watching that thing?
You know, it's funny because I was so burnt out by it by the end. I didn't want to see anything. Now, you know, I got to say, I think they did a really, really good job. Good job on this series. You know what? I'll tell you what. Next week, if you want, I will tell you guys a story about how I believe that I just happened upon O.J. Simpson coming back to the scene of the crime, if you want to do it that way.
Yes. Yes, please.
Accomplice.
That is a tease. All right, we'll take you up on that. Hey, don't forget, look for TMZ all over the TV on Fox Channel 11. And, of course, TMZ Live airs at 4 p.m. on 11. South of Wilshire is on My 13 at 5:30 p.m. And, of course, the TMZ Sports Show airs Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Harvey, can't wait till next week. Thanks so much for coming on. Have a good one.
Okay, guys, you too.
Dean and Robert DeLeo from Stone Temple Pilots join us in studio in the 7 o'clock hour to tell you how you can be the new lead singer for their band. That is coming up. Rob's got the showbiz beat in a few minutes. Hey, I want to throw out a couple of names of quarterbacks from yesterday's Super Bowl, okay, just briefly. Number one, Peyton Manning is going to drink a lot of Budweiser.
Yes.
Yeah. Allie, that rubbed you the wrong way?
It was too much. Too much. We get
too much product placement?
Too much product placement, and people are like, well, he isn't getting paid for it. Well, no, but he does own stake in two Anheuser-Busch distilleries. So it felt gross to me.
Felt gross? Kevin, that bother you at all if he's promoting his product in a post-Super Bowl interview?
I found it weird only in that they kept saying, oh, he's not getting paid, because usually you don't get that kind of mention from anybody once, let alone twice.
Right, exactly. All right, number two, Cam Newton threw a temper tantrum, basically, was a pouty teenager post-game press conference, got up and walked out after being asked a question. What's up with that? It's easy to be Superman and dab and be the million-dollar smile when you win, but you can't be a little bit gracious when you get your butt handed to you?
Yeah, I don't know. Getting your butt handed to you on the world's biggest stage, maybe?
Right?
I don't know.
Yeah. But like, I saw the interview with the coach, and he's like, look, they outplayed us and we won, but we're going to learn from this and we're going to be back. I mean, that's the way you handle it, right?
He has to know how to handle it. There was definitely an immaturity that everybody saw, and it just made me so mad because I stick up for Cam with anyone that's like, oh, he celebrates too much. He gave them so much fuel for people to hate him even more for no reason. And now he's doing this. He should have just answered the questions and been then gracious. Left.
Everybody been knows gracious. It's a bummer. Right?
Yeah, it's the hardest interview a quarterback will ever do is losing the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
But lots of other quarterbacks have done it. All right. And finally, Eli Manning, who was at the game yesterday.
He was less happy than Cam Newton.
Absolutely.
They put up a shot, and I know everybody saw this. They put up a shot as Denver scored again to make it a two-score game with like 3 minutes left. So at that point, barring some sort of a crazy miracle, the Broncos are about to win the Super Bowl, okay? They put the game away there. They stripped the ball from Cam Newton and then ran it in, all right? They showed the suite with the Manning family, and everybody is going crazy. People are screaming. Their hands are up in the air. They're jumping up and down. They couldn't be more excited. And Eli just stands there like he's lost.
He doesn't even know where he is.
What is the expression on his face? Now, I know a lot of people were defending him, saying, hey, that's just a screen grab. I mean, he was just exhaling because he was so relieved to see the play and everything like that. But watch it on video, and you see long after it's evident what has happened, he is showing zero emotion on his face.
No, he looks dead inside.
Dead
he
inside,
truly
yes.
He truly does.
Is there any possibility that you are willing to accept in your minds that he is disappointed that his brother is winning a second Super Bowl because he's no longer special? Because he's got two. His brother had one. He's always had that to lord over him. Is there any chance you think he's a tiny enough person that that's what's going on?
Let's ask him.
What?
Is he on the phone?
Yep.
Eli Manning.
What?
Oh, Eli.
Hi, Eli. Thanks for coming on.
Whatever.
Congratulations to your whole family. That's so great that your brother. But your brother won a Super Bowl. That's great. That's fantastic for you guys.
Oh, it's so fantastic for us guys. Blah, 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 blah.
You're not happy for him?
I'm Eli.
Yeah.
Right, you are Eli. And look, nobody takes away your great NFL career. You've won two Super Bowls. It's okay if your brother has two.
Eli?
Stupid.
Eli, you won him first, so you'll always have that.
Eli, he won him first.
I'm trying to help, Eli. I'm trying to help, because you sound like a pouty little bee.
A bee?
Yeah.
Bees go buzz. They don't pout.
Okay.
So, but Eli, again, your brother wins the Super Bowl.
Shut up.
But your whole family was jumping up and down and going
crazy. High-fiving, screaming, and you just stand there with like a completely blank look on your face. What's that
Peyton
about?
Peyton is the best. Oh, Peyton doesn't eat glue. Oh, Peyton knows how to tie his shoes. Oh, look at Peyton. He can count. I'm so tired of him.
Eli.
It's okay, Eli. You're
not
still
okay.
I had two
Super Bowls. He had one Super Bowl.
Right.
That made me better.
Okay, but he's probably retiring and you're still playing, right?
Yeah, you can win another one.
Playing. It doesn't matter.
Look, he's 30.
How many helmet catches can I get in my life? Not many.
Well, that's true.
How many Super Bowls am I going to get?
You don't know.
Fluke catches that win games.
Well, all right.
That day, day.
No.
I'm sorry this was so painful
sheriff,
for you.
Oh, the sheriff is going to ride into the sunset. I wish he'd ride into a vat of acid.
Eli.
Yeah, that's my name. I think. That's my name.
It's Eli.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll give you some time to calm down, maybe. Maybe over the summer you can come to grips with it a little bit.
I don't need to come to grips with it. I just need to grip his throat and squeeze very hard and squeeze and squeeze and squeeze like I do to all the puppies.
Wait. What?
We got to go. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. Apparently, our producer, Dave the King of Mexico, has woken up now.
He's good for him.
Really?
Yes. That's convenient. That's up. Nice.
Oh,
that's
glad good. He woke up.
Good news, right?
Maybe it is a holiday today, after all. I guess I didn't
realize
that.
What's
up? So Dave's on his way in?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Why bother now? If you're listening, just turn around and go home. Because everyone else managed to get here on time. That's fine. He's just the producer of the show. Right? It's not important for him to be here when the show begins. Right?
Well, the show did go on without him. I will say that.
That is true. We're already halfway down the track. We don't need him to come galloping behind on a horse and try to jump over like some
He's
old
riding
Western.
A horse?
Yes. That's weird. We're fine. You just take the day. You take the day and think about what it means to be responsible.
Think about the decisions you're making.
Yes, Cam. Why don't you just walk off the dais, Cam?
All right. It is a Monday morning. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of Mondays, we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Today is no different. Kung Fu Panda, number one yet again this weekend. Of course, because of Super Bowl Sunday, all of the box office was a little diminished, but still $21 million made Kung Fu Panda 3 number one. Hail Caesar's debut was $11.4 million. That was good enough to make it number two. The Revenant, Star Wars The Force Awakens, was fourth. The Choice, in its debut, $6.1 million. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies debuted to $5.2 million, making it number six. And The Finest Hours, Ride Along, The Boy and Dirty Grandpa. Anybody see a movie over the weekend?
Didn't have time, no.
That's rare for you, Kevin.
Yeah.
You know, what struck me is this morning as you guys were talking about the Super Bowl commercials, Kevin is the puppy monkey baby.
Yes, he is.
That's why he likes it so much, because
he's
a puppy monkey baby. That's exactly, if you had to define Kevin, Kevin is a puppy monkey baby.
Interesting.
He saw that thing, he's like, finally, must be like African Americans when they see like How to Get Away with Murder, when they see finally their being represented on television. Kevin saw the puppy monkey baby.
Puppy monkey baby.
And said, finally.
Puppy monkey baby.
I am being represented
puppy monkey baby.
On television. Now I can connect up with a character in a commercial.
That's a good commercial.
It's all a role model.
Because you're the puppy monkey baby.
Why did you like it so much, Kevin?
It was a puppy monkey baby.
Okay.
How do I need to explain that?
I didn't get it.
How could you not get it? What is there to not get?
What's the point of it?
Three of the most awesome things in the world are combined into one.
Oh, is that what they were trying? Is that the message they were trying to get across?
Really?
We all got?
I didn't get that.
That everybody Maybe loves I wasn't. Puppies, monkeys, and babies are three of the best things in the world.
Okay, but together they're just a freak show. They're a Frankenstein's monster.
They're not. It's not literal. What's wrong with you?
I saw it on the TV. Right, it was a puppy that was also a monkey that was also a baby.
Puppy monkey baby.
Right.
Puppy monkey baby.
Is no bueno.
Puppy monkey baby.
Bueno. This, mucho bueno.
This goes right into the Asperger's file of just seeing everything
compute.
Literally and not being able to get any depth behind what's on the surface.
Did you hear Bean earlier this morning when he was saying, I don't know if that's a birth defect that you could get from drinking this product?
Too many chemicals in that. I'm breaking down the formula after the hell? The commercial.
Puppy monkey baby.
Okay, that's enough.
Why are you bothering by baby. The puppy monkey baby, it's which is awesome?
Skeet. Puppy monkey baby.
I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
Puppy monkey baby.
Gung Hae Fat Choi.
Sure.
Oh, and to you as well.
Just want to wish all of our Chinese listeners a happy new year. It is the year 4713. Oh, how 4712 just zoomed by, huh?
Is this the year of the
puppy monkey baby?
No, sadly, it is the year of the monkey. Not the puppy or the baby, just the monkey.
Kevin.
Yeah. But it still feels like goat, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel like like it's still goat?
A little goatish?
I'm still getting used to it.
Writing goat on your checks?
Writing goat on your checks. If anyone wrote checks anymore, they would be writing goat on them, I think. Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom. This is a thing now, full blown. They're
She's
serious.
Lesbian now?
What?
Because
he's pretty.
Orlando
and so
Bloom. Then, some people are saying he's effeminate. So
he's pretty.
I get it.
So. Oh, I didn't get it because it's so stupid. Sorry, Bean.
Puppy monkey baby.
Apparently, Orlando and his 5-year-old Flynn. Were spotted leaving a shindig at Robert Downey Jr.'s house on Saturday, and in tow was his girlfriend, Katy Perry. How about that? Introducing her to the kid.
All right.
That's a big step. Wonder if they'll have a puppy monkey baby together.
Puppy monkey baby.
And everyone's still talking about Beyonce's performance last night on the Super Bowl halftime show. She looked terrific.
Sounded terrific. She debuted her new song, Formation. Oh, by the way, Beyonce's new clothing line, The Formation Collection, is also going to be available in stores. That's right, you heard me. She's got a new clothing line to go along with her new song and her new tour, all entitled Formation.
Ralph, you weren't in here when we were talking about it earlier. I felt she stole the halftime show from Coldplay.
What do you mean stole it from them? Like they were surprised?
No. I mean, she was invited, but I'm saying she was the big star of the Super Bowl halftime show. She eclipsed Coldplay's performance with her own.
I thought she had it too, but I didn't feel it eclipsed at all.
I didn't either.
No. Oh, good.
She was great.
She was great. I thought it was great. Coldplay did an amazing opening.
Agree.
And then they brought in Bruno Mars, and then they brought in her. It was a nice layering, and then they all closed it out together as the three of them. I thought it was completely balanced and terrific across the board.
I felt like they were gone for a long time for their own halftime show. It was like, hey, wait, wasn't Coldplay here at one point?
It's an 11-minute show, you know, right. So you have them do a medley of their great hits. Then you have your guest stars, two guest stars. You got to make room for them, and then they close it out as a trio. So it just seemed like it was well proportioned.
So you liked it?
Yes.
All right.
So to clarify, you're a thumbs up on that?
I mean, Beyonce, obviously, she's choreographed and, you know, costumed and stuff. It's a different vibe than the Coldplay set was, but I thought it was all equally good.
All right.
So you're saying you liked it then?
Sounds like Ralph liked it.
Yes. That's your point.
Yes. Okay. They just added a puppy monkey.
Puppy monkey baby.
It would have been perfect.
Would have been the best.
He could come out and dance on his little baby legs, holding a can of Mountain Dew in each monkey hand, licking stuff with his puppy face. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mary Steenburgen is 63 years old today. I don't know whether Steenburgen or Steenburgen. I always hear mixed pronunciations of her name. But I know she's terrific, and we love her, and she's married to Ted Danson, and she's great.
All right.
Creed Bratton of The Office fame, 73 years old. Novelist John Grisham is 61. Cicely Strong from SNL is 32. Her character of the girl you don't want to get stuck talking to at a party or whatever the name of that character is. One of my favorite things on television. She makes me laugh. Vince Neil's 55. Paramore bassist Jeremy Davis is 31. John Williams, the composer, 84 years old today. Actor Seth Green is 42. And Nick Nolte. Where's Nick Nolte in a commercial? I want to see Nick Nolte in a Super Bowl commercial for Kia or socks or something, whatever Walken was doing. And
right.
That was Willem Dafoe as Marilyn Monroe on the subway grate. That was pretty smart. Next year, Nick Nolte.
I like it.
I want you to drive a Kia. I don't care where you drive it. Just buy one and drive it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, we got time for some What's Good calls?
That's correct, yes.
What do you guys think? If you got comments or particularly something about the Super Bowl, if you want to talk about, maybe we haven't hit yet, you can call us right now, 1-800-520-1067, or anything else that happened over the weekend, or you got questions, you got comments, got Nick Nolte impression, whatever it is on your mind, we have room for all your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Beans, What's Good coming up?
Okay, monkey baby.
Dean and Robert DeLeo, guitar and bassist for one of the greatest K-Rock bands of all time, Stone Temple Pilots, join us in studio to talk about you joining the band. That's coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, we're taking your calls on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin Beans, What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
What's good indeed? Let's go to Paul first, give him a chance to be excited since he apparently is a Denver Broncos fan. Paul in Cyprus, you're on the air. What's good?
Good morning. Go Broncos! Oh, my gosh.
Go Broncos! Right.
Yes, go Broncos. And I can say that because I'm born in Colorado, so I don't want no one calling saying I'm a bandwagon or anything. And to all these dabbing idiots, like, I'm so glad Cam Newton got shut down. I'm so tired of all these little kids just, go Broncos!
So Paul's happy. So, Paul, do you feel like the Broncos did not get their due in the past few weeks? Like, almost everybody was picking the Panthers to win this. Was that frustrating for you, or how are you feeling?
it just kind of made me more excited, like, during the game. Like, I knew, I thought about every single one of those comments I heard. Oh, Broncos are going to lose. Cam Newton's unstoppable, blah, blah, blah. It just made me all the more happy to just absorb that win.
I'm just guessing here, Paul, but I'm going to say that you did not sleep last night at all. You're still up.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. Congratulations on your team. They won, and they deserve to win, so I'm happy for
you.
Thank you,
Paul.
All right, you bet. Let's talk to – let's go to John. He's on line three. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, John.
Hey, Kevin Bean, man. Love your show. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Thank you.
Good. What's good?
All right, so let's jump straight to the Super Bowl again. You know, okay. It's a huge topic. All right, Cam Newton, you know, you got MVP. You know, you're starting to jump in that limelight. You know, make a good name for yourself. But, I mean, the guy's the biggest celebrator, you know, biggest showboater, you know. Be the same when you lose, man. Be the better man. This guy was on the ground, pounding on the turf, you know. I mean, Jesus, you know, screaming at his teammates, you know, pointing the finger like, come on, buddy, you're MVP. You got all these new people looking at you. You know, your franchise is growing. Come on, man. Act like the MVP. Be a good guy. You know, obviously the veteran one, you know, give him his respects, man. The guy didn't even take off his helmet to talk to Peyton Manning.
I was surprised by that, too, by the way. You very rarely see that.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? And like I said, and I'll say it again, and I'm sure everyone else is thinking, you're the MVP, man. You got it, you know. You know, I'm a Patriots fan. Gentlemen, don't hate me. But, I mean, you know,
you can't be right about everything. Go ahead.
I suddenly like you, John.
Look, John, I think we're all thinking the same thing here. It has to have been a crushing loss for Cam Newton. He certainly expected to win. They had a phenomenal season. They lost one game all year. I mean, the guy is not used to losing, and it was on the biggest stage in the world. We all understand how devastated it was. And you're right. He should have just been gracious and cool. He should have.
But press conference at the end, you know? Walking out, come on, man. You know, we expect that from Marshawn Lynch, you know.
It was classless, but you know what? He's a great athlete and a great player, and the Panthers are going to be back, and he'll have another opportunity to do it better next time.
Of course, against Tom Brady at the end of the year.
All right, take it easy. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to John. He's in Santa Clarita. He's on line six. He's calling about something I missed on the Super Bowl yesterday.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. What'd it do?
What's good?
Hey, I was wondering, you guys haven't mentioned it, so I was wondering if anybody in the studio there heard the annoying fan that was sitting right next to the TV mic going,
yes.
To the entire freaking game. Oh, my God. Was that the most annoying thing in the world?
It was insane, and I thought I was one of the only people that noticed it, but Seth MacFarlane actually drew a picture of Peter Griffin yelling woo and wrote that, get farther away from the mics because I want to shred your vocal cords. So apparently everybody heard it.
I miss that. That's funny.
The TV people didn't go tell him, hey, you're ruining the broadcast.
Oh, it was awful.
That is hilarious, and I'm so glad I did not pick up on that, because I bet once you hear it, you can't not hear it.
That's all you hear.
It was one of those things.
That's very funny, John. Thank you for the call, sir. Let's go to line five, please, out to Lakewood, and it's going to be Kelly up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are good. What's good?
The Super Bowl halftime show, I have to disagree. I think that Beyonce and Bruno Mars stole it from Coldplay. They got way more FaceTime, way more choreographed. It felt like a 70s party with Coldplay, and they were awesome.
I agree with you. Look, again, I'm not saying anything bad about Coldplay, but the kind of show they do compared to the kind of show the others do, I just didn't think compared favorably yesterday.
Right. And if you look back at the Super Bowl halftimes, when you have a very large persona band, they usually play alone. When you look at Rolling Stones, when you look at U2, when you look at Beyonce, although they did bring Destiny's Child in, mm-hmm. It just didn't layer right for me with Coldplay and those two.
Yeah, I think so. I think they got overshadowed, but you know, I still like them, but I definitely think they got overshadowed.
I don't like them anymore. I'm off.
You stopped liking them?
No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Let's do one more. Thank you, Kelly. Let's do one more call, and it's Ryan. He's in Las Vegas, by the way, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show right now. We really appreciate that, Ryan. You get the final word on the Super Bowl. What's up?
All right. Just want to mention something about their outfits. I understand Beyonce was doing like a Michael Jackson tribute from the '93 show. I was a little confused about Bruno Mars, though, with his outfit. He seemed like the barge, kind of with an Afro mullet. I was confused, but Chris Martin was the most confusing of all. He looked like Captain Crunch on that stage with that outfit and all the sparkling lights and everything. I'm like, I was just waiting for him to say, hey, ladies and gentlemen, please send in your box tops. It's going to be a great show. Oh, my goodness.
I definitely didn't time my acid to hit properly when Coldplay was on the stage, but that was about as colorful a show as you could put on between right, what they were right. wearing with the lights on all the stages and everything like that, and then the cards that they held up in the stadium that just turned the whole thing into just a total color fest. It was crazy.
Oh my gosh! I had
Captain Crunch. I like it though.
Definitely in shock. Yep.
I like it. That's all Kevin heard is Captain Crunch.
That is all I heard. Thank you for the call.
What's good?
Our old friends Dean and Robert DeLeo from Stone Temple Pilots join us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And I was thinking about you guys coming in, and I was thinking about their brothers, and I don't know if they're sibling rivalry, but which one do I like best? And then I thought, which one brought donuts this morning?
Oh, looks like I'm going home.
Dean, you're my favorite. Thank you for that, brother. Thank you for that. Well, welcome, you guys. We've been reminiscing the last couple of minutes before we got on the air about how far back STP goes with K-Rock. You were on the bill for the first ever K-Rock Weenie Roast back in 1993, you guys.
Wow.
Do you? Is there any chance you even remember that day?
I absolutely remember that.
Really?
That's a lot of donuts ago. Man.
I mean, the fact that you were on a bill with the Gin Blossoms and the Lemonheads and the Posies and Terrence Trent D'Arby, I mean, it sounds like lifetime ago.
That's what sticks out the most. What happened there, Robert? Terrence was out on stage, and as I recall, he split his pants.
Oh, that's right. He tore his pants.
And our mom was there and wanted to mend.
Yes. Oh, like, how sweet is that?
Yeah. We're originally from New Jersey. Our mom's like, come over here, hon, and let us sew your pants for you.
That's fantastic. Well, that was all the way back in 1993. STP also played the Weenie Roast in 2000, in 2001, in 2010, in 2013. You also played a couple of acoustic Christmas shows throughout the years. So we got a long, long history with STP, and it's always great to see you guys. And you're kind of getting into a new chapter here. We have so many questions for you, but maybe you could just kind of give us an overview of why you're here and where you're at right now.
Well, we were hoping one of you were going to take the gig.
I mean, I'll do it.
So I guess the question goes out to you two first. Actually, anyone in the room.
Kevin's a singer.
Okay.
Here, yeah.
If you're up for it, you know.
I mean, I'll do a couple of shows if that's what you're looking for.
Right.
So you're here today to announce that you are looking for a new lead singer. Stone Temple Pilots will go on, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. And help me understand.
That's if we find a singer.
If you find someone.
Sure.
Help me understand that first. Like, why did you decide it's important that the band with that name and those songs go on rather than just forming a new band or going off and joining a new band?
Well,
you don't play well with others, do you? Is that the issue?
You know, we worked long and hard at forming Stone Temple Pilots. And
he said long and hard.
I heard it.
We got it.
Glazed donuts. And, you know, I think the three of us just want to really continue as Stone Temple Pilots. We have a lot of music to offer still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, That's what we want to do. We want to continue this band and honor the legacy. And we have a lot of new material we've been working on. And Stone Temple Pilots makes sense to us to do that.
So in addition to the catalog that is so beloved by millions around the world, you want it to be a current, ongoing band with new material as well that this new singer will make with you, and you'll tour with it.
Well, I mean, back when we made the decision to part ways with Scott, we wanted to move on in a productive, creative atmosphere then, and that's when we went to Chester. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, like quite unfortunately, with all that Chester brought to the table, the one thing he was unable to bring was time.
Yeah, well, he has other things going on.
Yeah.
As well.
Yes.
It makes it a little more difficult.
So, you know, he has six kids.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
That'll keep you busy.
In how many cities?
That'll keep you busy. I love Chester to death. But, you know.
But six kids, that's a bad decision. Let's be honest. No.
That's five bad decisions.
He's a great dad.
I know. Daddy. We love him,
great
too.
Great dad.
Yeah, we do. So in a dream scenario, Chester would have been your guy, and he would have the time to devote to the band that you guys
going into it with Chester, we kind of knew what we were up against. And, you know, it reared its ugly head, and we came to the understanding that we need more.
Right.
Chester came at a great time, though, because he really – uplifted the whole spirit of Dean and Eric and myself, and that was great at that time. And he jumped in and dove in head first, and you know, really,
yeah, he didn't. I mean, he when he was with you, he was 100% with you. He never treated it like it was a side project.
No.
I mean, he loved your band too. I mean, I mean, it was a thrill for him to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Obviously,
I got to tell you, I was in the audience when you guys played with him at Weenie Roast, and it took people a long time to realize, oh, this isn't Scott. It really did. Like people, I was like, nobody is reacting to the fact that Chester Bennington is playing with STP. What's going on?
Well, it was one of those wacky surprise visits we had, like we did in the past. Where people were like, yeah, we've done that before,
yeah.
Haven't we?
But he's also able to nail those songs in a way that most singers can't. So,
what
I mean,
a powerful voice.
He's just an amazing singer.
Yeah. Well, look, man, we're not trying to replace anyone here. If you really want to ask me, the great Scott Weiland, he's irreplaceable. Mm-hmm. He's irreplaceable. You know, Robert and I had the fortune of creating music with one of the best, the absolute best. But Scott chose one path and we chose another, you know.
Right.
And now Chester is back with his band, so you're looking for a new lead singer. Tell people where they can go and how they can become your singer.
Robert, where would I find that? Where do I sign up?
StoneTemplePilots.com. There you
go.
Oh,
that's too complicated.
Allie's writing it down.
I am. And do you want them sending a video? How is it working?
Well, there's a little bit of criteria to meet. We supplied them with three STP tracks.
The instrumental versions, right?
Yes, we'd like them to sing on two. Would that be uploading? They upload those, and we'd like to, you know, a photograph of their pretty faces and maybe a short little bio. And what we'd like to see, too, is kind of what they've been up to with their own thing recently. So they have the opportunity to upload some original stuff and maybe a YouTube video as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you know what kind of voice you are looking for?
You know, man, one that's really great. you know, I'll use just yesterday, for instance. You know, when that woman opened her mouth to sing the national anthem, yeah. I think you got three notes out. You go, that's great.
Yeah.
She's great. So, I mean,
yeah,
we want somebody that's really good, you know?
If the Filipino guy from Journey applied, would he have a shot?
Well, he's an alto.
Don't stop believing.
All right. I was half joking, but half kind of wondering if that's why I asked what kind of voice you're looking for. So you are looking. You're not looking for someone who's singing high.
I think it's just so, like Dean said, someone who sings great. Someone who can really nail this and has that whole thing that it's that thing that you see. And like Dean said, you know right away. I'm sitting next to one of the finest bass players and songwriters on the planet.
Right back at you.
Okay.
Brother.
So, you know, my theory on it is a great singer will carry an average band. A great band will not carry an average singer.
Oh, interesting.
You're right.
Okay.
You're right about that.
All right.
You know, I've come
deep.
To terms long
that
ago
that
I'm merely the guy that stands next to the singer.
StoneTemplePilots.com. That's where you go for all the information. We've got many more questions with our guests. Dean and Robert DeLeo are here from STP. More in a moment right after this on K-Rock. Dean and Robert DeLeo in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the band Stone Temple Pilots. Eric is sleeping, smarter than you guys are. Where is he? What's up with him?
We tucked him in.
Tucked him in?
Sweet.
Okay, that's
toes
good.
Toes are warm.
Yeah. You can go to StoneTemplePilots.com for all the information on how to become the lead singer of STP. Now, when did you go live with this project, you guys?
Oh, let's see. Was it Wednesday or Thursday?
Okay, so you've already seen a bunch of submissions. Yes. Tell me about them. What's it been like sifting through fans from all over the world who think they can sing with you?
Well, I think there's, on some occasions, a little more brawn than brain.
Sure.
All right. Is there a way that you could send us the worst of?
You know, that could be a nice compilation.
Yeah. I'm saying it's early American Idol, you know, in the seasons when the people really believe that they can sing and they can't at all. You're going to get some of that.
Yeah, I don't.
And
I,
we would like them.
It's that kind of thing where it's like, well, Mom said I was great.
Right.
Special little snowflakes.
Yeah.
Right. Now, before you got to the open audition format, did you think about finding another Chester Bennington? Not that he can be replaced, but another guy who's already out there singing with another band that we would know. Did you go that route already?
I think if we're going to do this, we have to go worldwide with this and see really who is out there. Because you live in L.A. and you're in a little bubble, and there's the people around, and then there's some other people that they know, and, you know, we just wanted to spread this all out, get this all out to the whole world and see who was out there.
I imagine one of the biggest problems you're going to have is people trying to sound like Scott. I imagine. Mm. And that doesn't seem like that's going to necessarily be the way to go.
No, I think it's a matter of honoring the catalog and someone doing that how it should be done, and then also moving forward. And that voice has to be that thing as well as honoring the catalog. It has to be that we're looking for someone who can do all that and be out there leading this band.
Now you have said that you have been working hard on new material and you have at least an album's worth of songs. Does that mean music and lyrics, or is the person that you're looking to hire somebody who is also going to be contributing in a songwriting way?
You know, we have, in any writing situation, Robert and I have some melodic ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But in the instance of writing with Scott, he came up with most of that on his own. And I think in a true creative environment, we have to allow this person to kind of let their flag fly.
So the songs aren't necessarily finished. They're just songs, and these people can add to them... hopefully a lot.
Yeah, we have music tracked with, like I said, with melodic ideas, but we'd like to see what they can do, you know. And in most instances, what I said, I'd have some melodic ideas, and Scott's were always better.
In a perfect world, would you get into a situation like what happened with Queen, where they found Adam Lambert, who is a phenomenally talented guy, who just was a perfect fit for that band?
Yeah, I mean, it works for them. It really works for them. I haven't seen them, but I've heard people that have, you know, from people that have gone and seen them, and they say he's a perfect fit. And, you know, Brian and Roger, John's no longer with them, but Brian and Roger chose to continue sharing that music with the world, which they should. They're Queen.
Yeah. You don't want to live in a world where those songs don't exist, right?
Right. That was the milk from the bottle that we drank upon, you know, Queen.
Right. How had it been quite a while since you had been in any kind of regular being in touch with Scott?
Yeah, years.
Had been years.
Yeah.
No kind of personal relationship at all after you got to a certain point where business went bad.
Well, it was friendly, you know. It wasn't the kind of thing where, you know, he was our brother, you know. But it just like Dean said, things went in a different road, different paths,
right.
You know. And after 20 years, you know, I mean, look at people that get married. You know, there's such a thing called divorce, and people get divorced, and it happens in life. And
well, look, man, you know. When somebody keeps going in that direction and I'm hanging on with hope and help and prayer and doing whatever I can do, it's you know, I spent over 20 years doing that, and then it eventually starts to creep into my own home, my own living room, my own family, and it starts to damage me.
Yeah.
You know?
I can see that.
People don't think about what the addicts are leaving behind, the families, the friends. Those are the people that have to continue on. And those tend to be the people that are the most affected.
Yeah.
And I think that's lost along the way with people.
Yeah, I don't know if people really understand addiction and being around that and not being an addict and having to, you know, live with that.
Yeah, it's a lot.
On a personal and a business relationship.
Yeah.
You know? It must have been one of the hardest things in the world, though, when you guys parted ways, because as you said, it was still friendly and there's still so much love for each other. But to know at some point you couldn't help anymore, even as you would see him pop up on the news and there would be a bad situation, I'm sure the impulse was for you is, I got to figure out a way to help this guy. But there wasn't anything you could do.
No. Nothing. I think what we did offer Scott over the course of our career was the truth and honesty. And someone who's that deep in their addiction runs from that.
Right.
They run from truth and honesty. So, you know, that's where he was. You know, we became these guys that he didn't want to be around because we were telling him like it was.
Right. You were harsh in his mellow.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Hey, guys, this is a morning show. Let's keep this on the up and up. I have a few things in front. What can I ask a question here?
Of course, yes.
What's hot fudge holy moly?
I think you need to play it.
Push the button.
Go ahead.
Hit the button.
Where's the button?
Help him with the button.
Help me out here.
Ralph has a machine there that has some audio on it.
It's queued up.
Yeah! Hot fudge holy moly! What's going on?
That's what it is.
There you go. There's your new lead singer right there.
I have half my clothes off already. It's amazing.
Could there have been a better song to play out of these Scott Weiland talk? Because it is.
Yes.
I was getting sad.
I apologize for that. I'm not trying to make it sad.
It's sad.
But you can play that again anytime you need it. Anytime you feel like we need it, it's right there.
There's been many times on stage with Scott where I feel hot fudge holy moly. Really. I mean.
All right. Let's drive the point home. StoneTemplePilots.com, looking for a new lead singer. You didn't give us a lot of parameters. So let me ask you, is there an upper or lower age limit?
We're taking all applicants, man.
All right.
What
male,
about 80
male
plus?
Or female?
What about 80 plus? I mean, there has to be a high end.
Well, you know.
85 plus.
So you're saying. Then we'd be discriminating. So the next question from the manager is, do you mind having Depends being wrapped on the bus?
That's a good point. All right.
Yeah. It's going to be a dude, though, right? I would imagine. Or maybe not.
Man or woman?
Man or woman. You're accepting applications from both?
From everyone. Let's see what you got.
Okay. All right. Let's see what you got. Has there been anybody in the last few days that you have put into a separate file that goes, let's keep an eye on this one. This one might be worth going back to.
You know, we've actually gotten a room with several people over the last few months, and there's a couple people that we really dig. But, you know, we want to go wide with this.
Okay.
You know, we want to go wide, and we want to make sure that we have exactly what we want and need to take this band into 2025, you know?
And that all of the people out there are aware that this is available and can maybe help
get
you
the
guys
word
make
out,
some
right.
music.
Yeah. What's the deadline? When are you cutting off submissions?
I think, Robert, maybe another
15 minutes.
30 days.
30 days is what I meant.
Yeah. All right. All right. So you got a month to fill out the application and upload the video that could change your life forever. You could be the new lead singer for Stone
change
Temple
the
Pilots.
Face of music.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a wonderful opportunity for somebody. And I know you guys are excited, as you said when you sat down, to continue the band, continue the brand. You've got a lot to offer, a lot of music that you want to play. And I hope it works out for you. I hope this works and you find the person you're looking for.
Well, thank you. So dig this. Enough of us. Mm-hmm. 25 years.
Yeah.
You guys?
Yeah, it's insane.
Don't you guys think it's about time you got real jobs?
All right, Dad.
Give us a hot fudge holy moly
years.
To get out of here, Dean.
That's pretty good.
If you guys don't mind, I'd love to say good morning
We're
to
sort
my,
of out of
to
time
my
now.
Lovely wife, Jen Rocco. and June. I love
you.
Oh, they
don't have a phone?
Really?
They're tuned in, man. They're tuned in.
You guys are the best. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Share with us your lead singer when you find one.
Absolutely.
We're looking forward to that. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
You bet. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:55.
Just after 8, we're going to introduce you to the woman who's practicing Kung Fu Vagina. She can lift household objects, including coconuts and even a surfboard, using her vagina. That is coming up. But first, we got a quick phone call we got to make. Let's dial up this number in Westminster. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hi. Why are you talking to me?
We're just saying hi because you're here for the showbiz, but we just got
a phone call, aren't
quick
you?
Call here. We're going to give away a trip to Brazil to see Coldplay. This is the grand prize drawing of destination number 3 of the K-Rock World Tour 2016. This person qualified by winning Coldplay tickets for the Rose Bowl. Now we want to send them to Brazil.
I want to hear the ring. Oh, it's a good ring.
That was a good one.
It is a good ring, yeah.
It's tight.
Solid.
Melodic, but also
we should maybe do this
has a rhythm off to
the air.
It,
your phone call has we been could have done it off the
air. If you're qualified for a grand prize, be aware that we're going to call you in the 7 o'clock hour on Monday morning and be near your phone.
Jeez.
Oh, here's the answering machine.
Hey, you know the girl.
That's not his answering machine.
All right, we'll have to call him off the air.
Congratulations to Mr. Gabriel Chan. Do I have that right?
Gabriel Chan, sure.
Gabriel Chan from Westminster. You are going to Rio de Janeiro, the one in Brazil, to see Coldplay. Congratulations. Thanks so much for listening. All right, time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Rob.
It was good. Glad you guys did that.
Yep.
You want to do it again?
Come back. Maybe he's in the shower.
We could.
Maybe he's out again. Let's do
it again.
We're
required to do it.
Oh, sure.
We are. They tell us we have to.
Well, I don't have a choice. I'm forced to do things. No one's buying your BS.
All right. It is Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Kung Fu Panda 3. Not to be confused with Kung Fu Vagina 1.
Right.
Which you guys will be talking about later on. $21 million made it number one at the box office. Always, traditionally, not always, but traditionally, a low box office weekend when the Super Bowl is being played. And it seems to be the case this weekend. Hail Caesar debuted to $11.4 million. Not a great opening, but still good enough to make it number two. Then The Revenant, Star Wars, The Force Awakens, The Choice. Those were your top five movies at the box office. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, only $5.2 million. That made it number six. The Finest Hours, right along to The Boy and Dirty Grandpa were your top 10 movies. Could it be we're reaching a saturation point with zombie-related fare? The people are saying, I can stay at home and watch The Walking Dead for free. Do I really need to go watch a Jane Austen version of zombies?
I think that is possible, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Or just this project. I don't know. I sort of wanted to see it, but I didn't have time.
Zombies are everywhere and sort of omnipresent and just...
The Walking Dead is coming back Sunday.
There's a lot of zombies. Yeah. There's a lot of zombies out there. What was your favorite commercial over the Super Bowl last night?
Puppy Monkey Baby.
I figured Kevin had a ready response.
Puppy Monkey Baby.
Anyone else? Anyone else have a...
I enjoyed the sheep singing the Queen song a lot.
Mm-hmm. Of course you did.
Yep. I think it was for a car.
That hit everything that he loved.
That's an erotic fantasy for Bean. It's Queen and sheep that are just alone and helpless in a field, just vulnerable.
Man. I also liked the Amazon Echo ad with Jason Schwartzman and Alec Baldwin. I liked that too.
Dan Marino.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
That was good.
How about you, Ralph?
For me, it was, once again, the Snickers commercials. I love those Snickers commercials.
Where you're not like yourself?
Willem Dafoe as Marilyn Monroe shooting the scene from 7 Year Itch where she's on top of the subway grate. And they're like, here, have a Snickers, Marilyn. You're not yourself when you're hungry. And she was Willem Dafoe. And then Eugene Levy underneath running the fan, which I thought was also very, very interesting.
What'd you think of the creepy Doritos commercial where the kid escaped
the
from the uterus?
It was hilarious. It wasn't creepy.
It was creepy. It was very creepy.
You don't know the definition of creepy. This is why we're finding out why Bean is so creepy. He doesn't understand what creepy is.
Wait, Bean, you know that was fiction, right?
This was a baby catapulted out of a woman's hoo-ha to catch a Dorito.
That could totally happen.
So creepy.
You would move the chip and the baby would react inside the
his wife's stomach?
That's one of my favorites.
How is that creepy?
It's hilarious.
And the one that I don't understand at all
was the
Pokemon ad. What was
training,
the Pokemon
man.
Ad all
Keep
about?
Keep training, because you have to train to win them all.
Yeah, I don't think you're the guy, Bean.
I love the Jason Bourne ad.
That was pretty strong.
Right? Oh, the ad for the movie.
Yeah, it's a lot of movie ads. Speaking of movie ads, do we need to know that Turkish Airlines flies both to Gotham City and Metropolis? Is that going to come
that
ahead?
That was weird.
That was really weird.
Does that make anyone race to the Turkish Airlines website and buy their tickets? Get a round-trip flight to Gotham, a city that doesn't exist?
Yeah, that was weird.
They spent a lot
that.
Of money telling us they fly to a place that doesn't exist.
Yep. Yes, they did.
Shouldn't they be promoting Turkish tourism instead of tourism to Metropolis? I can't go there.
That's a great point, Ralph.
Turkish
That's a
Airlines?
Great point.
Very strange.
How about T-Mobile, Drake, Hotline Bling? Funny.
Yes.
I thought that was very funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
My buddy Jerry Lambert was the star of that commercial. He was the guy who was pitching the new ideas to Drake.
Oh, no kidding.
He loved everything. Yeah. Jerry's a very funny guy and does a ton of commercials. I was glad to see him on my TV during the Super Bowl. All right. We covered those.
Do we have the list, Ralph, that comes out every year of what was the audience favorites? Like, what was there a commercial that was picked as the winner of the day?
We do, but we don't have time for it here. We'll hit it in the next hour. I'll let you know what America thought about all the different commercials since we're running late. Today's celebrity birthdays, Seth Green. It's not a finished story until there's a list.
Yeah.
Need a ranking. If it's not ranked, it doesn't count. Right, Bean?
I like numbers.
I know you do. I know you like rankings and numbers, and numbers affixed to items in numerical order.
I enjoy lists.
In a specific, clean list way that is ranked and scientifically.
He does need that.
I want
down.
Them in order, yeah. sir.
Yes, I know you do. We just did a whole chunk on all the commercials, but it's not enough.
They weren't in order.
Until there's a list with numbers and rankings and official stamp of...
And how creepy was that baby that wanted Doritos?
Oh, it was very disturbing. Baby probably came out as a puppy monkey baby.
Puppy monkey baby.
It's very disturbing. All the chemicals in that drink made a mutated child that ate Doritos and drank Mountain Dew.
Look,
the commercials a horror movie.
You guys can laugh, but there's a health crisis going on in this country, apparently.
All right, Bernie Sanders.
Bean today is literal, man. I've never heard him more this way.
Did anyone check on the health of that woman after that baby came shooting out? She was probably bleeding because of the rupture that was caused by that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mary Steenburgen is 63 years old today. Novelist John Grisham is 61. Creed Bratton of The Office is 73. Cecily Strong from SNL, 32 years old. Vince Neil's 55. Jeremy Davis, Paramore bassist, is 31. John Williams, legendary movie composer, gave us so many great soundtracks and scores over his career, is 84. Our buddy Seth Green turns 42 years old today.
Seth Green.
Oh, come on. And actor Nick Nolte celebrates his 75th birthday. How you going to celebrate, Nick?
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a big cake. And then I'm just going to take my face and just stick it in there and just, I'm going to snort the cake.
That sounds like a party. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Less than 1 hour from right now, we will hook you up with tickets for K-Rock's Grammy Party. We're talking about an intimate performance by Death Cab for Cutie Saturday night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. You can get all the details and another chance to win at krock.com. Right now, though, it's vagina time.
Vagina.
Been looking for an excuse to play that theme song for Vagina Time, but Kevin, you're going to introduce us to an intimacy coach.
Well, she's an intimacy coach, but she's also a vagina weightlifter.
All right.
She's a weightlifter with her vagina.
You fascinate me. Tell me more.
Sex and relationship coach Kim Anami is a woman with a very hidden talent. She's a pro at vaginal weightlifting.
Now, did anyone know that that was a category?
I thought there maybe were amateurs, but not sure anyone had surpassed that.
She's a pro.
To become a pro.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the vaginal weightlifting apparatus that I use. It's actually jade carved into the shape of an egg. There's a hole drilled through it. The thread or string comes down, and then that's where we affix, tie the objects onto the end of, and then we lift. I can lift skateboards, coconuts.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I like that she started with skateboards and then she went backward to coconuts.
Okay, if you can explain this to me in a way that is allowed on the radio.
Okay.
What is she... Wait, these items are being held by a string.
Yes.
What is she attaching it to on the other end?
It's a jade egg.
Yeah, it's like...
it's an egg. So she's squeezing down on an egg, yes. And then... I gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
And then she's lifting things.
That seems
all
difficult
kinds
to do.
Of tropical fruits.
She can do tropical all fruit. Kinds. All kinds. You got a coconut? I'll lift it.
Mango?
She doesn't care. Mango, I'll lift that.
Kim now practices what she calls her vaginal kung fu.
Vaginal kung fu is the best band name ever.
It really is. Chip, get on that.
Up to five times a week and claims that the effects of having a vice-like vagina are nothing short of miraculous.
All right, now she's going to tell us how it has helped her that she's able to do this with her vagina.
Okay, now stop.
Okay.
Allie, you're a woman.
Yes.
Ish.
Thank
woman
you.
Adjacent. Female adjacent.
I am actually a woman. Yeah.
What could the advantage be of being able to lift a skateboard with your vagina?
I imagine it's strengthening those pelvic muscles. And if you've got, the same reason people do Kegels, I would assume. You're strengthening those muscles, therefore you're going to have maybe more sensation during intercourse.
Right. So you think the reason she does it is because it makes sex feel better?
Yeah. I don't think she's, lifting weights to be like, yeah, CrossFit, this is what I do.
That. I think it's. Or this.
Women can across the room with a strong PC muscle.
I'm sorry?
Well, we can't really explain further.
Huh.
But then she goes on that there are other things, other ways that this helps you.
I've had clients who were Botox users stop using Botox because the lines in their face began to be erased.
Okay, so
what
if you lift weights with your vagina, you no longer have to use Botox because the lines in your face are gone.
I don't understand the correlation.
I don't either.
Yeah. How would that even work?
I don't know, but that's
maybe because you're not frowning as much because you're having such better sex.
Maybe, I guess.
Okay. It's science.
It's a stretch.
Let's hear some more.
I think that she's opening up a door to women exploring their sexuality, the sensuality, and the power of the vagina. And it is something that's so repressed in our society. I think she's doing something physically and mentally and socially that's a good thing.
Kim travels the world extolling the virtues of vaginal weightlifting and posts pictures of her training on her Instagram page. Hashtag things I lift with my vagina.
Did you have any idea that hashtag existed?
I did not. I did not.
Today, she's at Venice Beach in California, showcasing her pelvic power.
Now, I want you to listen to the guy that's hitting on her in this particular video.
So I just attached a surfboard, and I'm lifting a surfboard with my vagina.
First of all, I don't know why. I don't know if she's on an airplane at the same time. I don't know what's going on there.
And it's earning her a fair amount of attention.
When people see me out in public practicing my lifting of different objects, they tend to be amused, their jaws drop, or they are very, very intrigued and supportive and encouraging, like, you go, girl.
Okay. If you saw a woman weightlifting with her vagina, would you say, you go, girl?
I would not.
I would not, but she's doing this out in public.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm wondering, she's
She's covered.
Okay.
But then you see the string and the surfboard. And then people say, you go, girl. Or,
I think this girl looks great. What's your number?
Wow.
That you could get that quality of guy if you weightlift with your vagina.
But potential suitors should be careful what they wish for.
Wow.
I have heard of a friend of mine knew a woman in Thailand who put three men in the hospital because she didn't know her own strength.
All right, that
she
seems unlikely. That seems unlikely, though, doesn't it?
I'm just trying to help in case you didn't get that, but wow.
Thank you for explaining. Thank you for explaining the most obvious part of that whole thing. She does good work.
Kevin, I know you hate the politics.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
And you don't watch the news because you're a kid. But there were two very funny things that happened this weekend. Please tell me you saw, if not live, at least on tape, the Republican candidates trying to come out onto the stage for the debate on Friday night.
I did not
Please tell
this.
Me you saw it.
No. What happened?
Did they all fall? It was like a Christopher Guest movie.
It was unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
Who screwed up first? Was it Dr. Carson?
I think it was Ben Carson.
Ben Carson gets to the lip of the stage where he's supposed to be introduced to come out and walk to the podium, but for whatever reason, he freezes and there's nobody there to cue him. So then Donald Trump comes out and Donald Trump is announced, but he doesn't go out either because he sees Ben Carson is still in the chute, so he hasn't come out. And then one after another, they just start stacking up like Russian nesting dolls and nobody will go out to the stage. And then they have to keep introducing and reintroducing them. It's the greatest 2 minutes of television. Wow. I've seen all year. It's fantastic. You got to see it. So that was thing one. And then thing two was Saturday Night Live had Larry David hosting the show. Now, Larry David is great. We're all fans of his. But he has made a couple of guest appearances earlier this year because he looks so much like Bernie Sanders. They're both old Jews. And he does a great version of Bernie Sanders on the show. So he was on hosting the program. It was a very funny episode. And Bernie Sanders, the candidate himself, the senator from Vermont, actually came out and participated in a sketch. So here we have Bernie and Larry David together, and they are playing passengers on a ship like the Titanic. And Larry David's character is saying, hey, why should the women and children go first? I'm rich, so my life is more valuable than theirs. I should get to go in the lifeboat. And then Bernie Sanders comes out from the wings.
Of the 1% getting this preferential treatment. Enough is enough. We need to unite and work together if we're all going to get through this.
Sounds like socialism to me.
That's Larry.
Democratic socialism.
What's the difference?
Huge difference.
Huge?
Huge.
With a Y, eh?
Indeed. So there's Bernie Sanders and Larry David together, and I thought it was a very fun appearance. And it's got to be great for a candidate when you have a character on SNL, I would think.
I would think so, too, yeah.
I mean, I guess it could backfire if you're Sarah Palin and Tina Fey is making you look foolish every week. But people seem to like the Larry David character, and we thought it might be fun to check in with Senator Sanders himself and find out how his time was on Saturday
blah,
night.
Blah, 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 blah.
What?
I don't need a fancy introduction.
Okay. I was just saying good morning and hello. We haven't had you.
I fly coach.
Right.
Take the fancy planes.
I know you don't, yes.
Because we have a huge economic crisis in this country.
Right. Right. But it's okay for you to relax and have fun a little bit. You always just look so exasperated.
I'll relax when there isn't such economic inequality in America.
Okay, but we're talking about Saturday Night Live. You just go on there.
It's funny, ha-ha, to you, with your jokester, and your friend, and your monkeys, and your beer.
Right.
Okay, but there's a real problem in America, and we need to address it.
I understand that you're running for a serious job. I understand being president is tough, Bernie, but it's okay to relax a little bit. Enjoy yourself a little bit.
How can I relax?
Have some fun.
How can I relax?
Well,
when the reality is that for the last 40 years, the great middle class of this country has been in decline.
Okay.
And the faith in our political system is at an all-time low.
Okay, but you
How
just,
can I relax?
You just
enough
sound like,
is enough.
Okay. But you just sound like a cranky old, hey, kids, get off my lawn guy every once in a while.
Because I will tell you the truth. And the other candidates won't tell you the truth.
Uh-huh.
And that gridlock on stage for the debate the other night was symptomatic of all the gridlock in all of Washington.
But it was pretty funny, though, right, Bernie?
It was hilarious.
It was really, really funny.
Ben Carson forgot how to use his legs.
He really did.
So you're not too old to be president, because that's a very demanding job. And I think a lot of people are concerned that you won't live to see inauguration.
I'm too old. Let me tell you something. With age comes wisdom.
Okay.
And I know now that Americans are people who are finally catching on.
Uh-huh.
They
okay.
understand that something is profoundly wrong
right.
in our country. In our country today, when the top one-tenth of 1% own almost as much wealth as the bottom 90% of Americans.
Right. Uh-huh.
That is wrong. And enough is enough.
Right. But as president, you know, you can't just go around just taking rich people's money and throwing it into the street for the poor people to pick up, you know.
I will not throw it into the street.
Okay.
I will put it in baskets. And then I will pass the baskets around to people, and everyone will take just a handful.
I'm not sure
I don't think that's
going to
work.
Have you checked that will be within your power?
listen to me.
Yeah.
The system is broken.
Right, mm-hmm. Broken. Right.
We need to change the system.
Right.
Change.
So I'm saying baskets.
Baskets.
Money baskets.
Money baskets.
That okay. would help everyone.
Okay.
Also, free education.
All right.
Okay.
Free medication.
Free medication. Mm. Wow.
Free other things that end in ation.
All right, it's a good policy.
And how do we pay for all that exactly?
With the baskets. You're not listening.
Come on, Kevin. It's so simple.
The baskets are huge.
They're huge.
Huge baskets of money. Everybody gets a handful.
Okay. All right.
It'd be simpler. Than a money basket.
Right. I guess we can try it. We tried everything else.
All right. I thank you for your vote.
Well, we didn't say we were voting for you. We just said.
Yes, you did. I have it.
Well, I don't,
okay, no. You said, yes, you're going to give me a try.
Right, well, consider what
blah,
you're saying.
Blah, 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 blah.
Well, consider what you're saying.
Your vote has been counted. Thank you.
Okay. It has been our distinct pleasure on Monday morning since the NFL season began all those months ago to talk to our good friend Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's Red Zone and the NFL Network, and he joins us on the phone right now. Andrew, do I understand you are currently on the way to the airport to fly home?
That is correct. I'm on the 101, or as I believe up here, it is simply 101, and on the way to the airport, yeah.
What a weekend you had. I felt like there was never a time, day or night, that I turned on the NFL Network when you weren't on the air.
We had a good time. I think we had 88 hours of live coverage this week, so I guess that's a lot.
And where were you during the game? Where did you watch the game?
So here's what I did. During the game, I actually sat up in the stands with my girlfriend as a Bronco fan. So did my stuff beforehand, went down to the field, kissed some babies, shook some hands, and then sat in the game in the stands for the first time in a long time.
Wow, just like a fan. And we were talking earlier, Andrew.
Now,
maybe
hold on. I was a fan in a suit, granted.
Right, yeah, sure.
That's not ideal.
We were talking earlier today, Andrew, and I brought this up first thing when we came on the air, that I feel like a little bit of a failure as a football fan, that I don't appreciate great defense the way I do great offense. And I think that's a failing of mine because it's so hard to be as good as the Broncos are defensively. But I felt like it didn't make for a very exciting game. Am I wrong?
No, you know what? It's a discussion that has been had ever since the game ended. You're not wrong. And by the way, we in the media are partly to blame as well because we promote the shiny object. The shiny object is the quarterback. Cam Newton is the million-dollar smile. Peyton Manning is the sheriff who sells pizza and beer and insurance and everything else that isn't nailed down in your home. obviously, that is how it always goes. The quarterback in American sports is the most glamorous position, period, across all sports. But a good defense always wins. It is a cliche that defense wins championships, and most cliches are true. And Denver had the number one total defense in the NFL. We talked about it 2 weeks ago after the AFC Championship game. The Broncos beat up Peyton Manning and left him on the side of the road. I'm sorry, beat up Tom Brady and left him on the side of the road. And they did that again tonight, last night, to Cam Newton. Cam Newton hadn't been hit more than six times in any game the entire season. He was hit 13 times last night, double plus one, and he was clearly rattled, and it was the game.
He was truly bummed and completely thrown off his game.
Yes. As I think I tweeted last night, I thought it was clever. Not as many people liked it. It was a defensive performance for the aged. The aged being Peyton Manning.
You know, it's so funny when you see those guys down there on the field, and I've been thinking this in the whole 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. These quarterbacks are only 13 years apart, right? 39, 26. Correct. But I feel like when I think about them, I feel like it's one of those family reunion photos where you see a family gets together through five generations and there's a great, 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 great grandmother at one end and then there's a newborn at the other end. That's how I feel about the age difference between these two. But it's only 13 years, but I guess that's a pretty tough 13 years when you're playing in the NFL.
Well, between Peyton and Cam, you say it's only 13. It is the biggest age discrepancy between any two starting quarterbacks in Super Bowl history.
Wow, how about that?
So there is, it's the old and the new, and this was the passing of the torch, but Peyton took the damn torch with him.
Why do you think Peyton didn't just announce last night, oh my God, winningest quarterback ever, walking off after a Super Bowl win, I'm done? Why do you think he didn't say that last night?
Because quitting something you've done your entire life is really hard to do. That's my simplest answer.
Do you think he'll be able to do it?
I think he will. I know, you know, Archie said to Archie F. Darlington after the game, he's done it, Denver. So
he's done in Denver, he said, right?
He's coming to the Rams.
That's why I said, hey, there are a lot of teams that need a quarterback.
I don't think he's coming to the Rams. Listen, Peyton was a part. He was a role player in all this. He was a pretty darn significant role player. But John Elway's moving on. They need to re-sign Brock Osweiler. If Peyton Manning came to John Elway and said, I want to play here again next year, he would be putting John Elway in a pretty untenable position.
Yeah. Like, how do you say no to a guy who just was part of a team that won the Super Bowl?
You don't ask him to say yes is the answer.
Right. I was a little bit disappointed, by the way, in both of the post-game interviews that Peyton Manning gave, that he didn't credit Brock Osweiler for helping the team get to the game in the first place.
You know, I noticed that. He did say that, you know, on the podium and to all the other reporters in the locker room afterwards. I will say this. Peyton repeatedly all week, and let me tell you, we carried every last second of every one of his press conferences, repeatedly said we would not be here without Brock Osweiler.
Okay, good. I'm glad he was acknowledged.
Yes, absolutely.
Who was the Panthers player that was crying like a little girl on the sidelines at the end of the game?
That would be Josh Norman, who is there very loud and lovable and arrogant and fun cornerback. He's the one that went blow by blow and mano a mano with Odell Beckham back in December.
Uh-huh. You don't see that very often. You don't see a guy openly weeping at the end of a game very often.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a meme, I'm sure, if he isn't already. But that's also, as we've discussed a million times, why this is the greatest reality show there is and why you get to the biggest stage. It's the biggest day of your life, period, end of discussion.
To have
it go badly, I mean, just put yourself in his shoes.
Good for him for showing emotion.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think calling him a little baby is...
being.
Right?
Well, you just especially by Bean. You don't see it very often. That's all I've said. Usually you hold it together until you get off camera. That's all.
Go back and look at Richard Sherman's, the look on his face, his reaction.
Yeah.
And Malcolm Butler picked Russell last year. It's tears, but it's a
lifetime of pain.
It's a shock. It's a shock,
exactly.
Yeah. We've talked about it a couple times today, Andrew, but I want to get your take on it as you know, knowing him better than we do. Your reaction to how Cam Newton handled the post-game press conference?
It wasn't good. I think it showed a little bit of immaturity and sort of losership. However, that is the good and the bad with him, and he will learn. You know, our guys on the set on NFL Network last night, Dion, Michael Irvin, Marshall Faulk, all criticized him. All did it in their own different ways, but I think Marshall said it the best. And Marshall said, listen, I'm the only one up here on stage. All of us have won Super Bowls. I'm the only one up here on stage who has lost a Super Bowl. None of you can understand what it is like, and this is the same thing with Josh Norman, too, to have the biggest day of your life go as poorly as it did. And to answer questions like that, it is impossible. Now, that said, thank you very much. Have a great day. All right. That said, if he wants to be the face of the league, he has to do it better. If you want to be the MVP, if you want to be the poster boy, you have to do it better.
The only person that was more upset than him was Eli Manning.
What was that? I have no idea. You tell me.
What the hell?
The
whole suite of his family was going crazy, and he was standing there like he was a wax statue.
I know.
It's crazy.
I saw Eli a couple of times during the week, and he was cool. He was in a good place. I never was heard of discouraging words.
So bizarre.
That threw me off.
We're almost out of time here, Andrew. We know you got to get on a plane, but how did the halftime show play in the stadium as you were a fan in the stands?
Beyonce, I think, should be the official halftime entertainment of the National Football League. I think she's awesome. I thought Bruno Mars was very good as well. I am a Coldplay fan. I don't know. You know, judging from Twitter, no one liked Coldplay. The show in the building was certainly good.
Yeah.
You know, it. You got what you thought you were going to get, but I think Beyonce stole the show.
Stole the show. Yeah, that's what I think.
But
too.
I think we all agree.
Taylor Swift would have been awesome.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Andrew. Finally, someone's saying
out
it.
Of time. Oh,
finally.
I think we've got another call. We got to go.
Sorry, we got to go. So what's next for you, Andrew? Are you going to go take some time off and climb some more mountains?
I don't know yet. I'm going to host
the parade. Shut up with the phone.
Host the parade tomorrow, and then the combine is only a couple of weeks away in Indianapolis. So.
Okay. Well, apparently we've got
to
go.
We're only 80 days to the draft.
See? We're only 80 days to the draft, you guys.
Is that supposed to make us feel better?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, thank you for all of your time. We know how busy you are during the season, and we really have very much enjoyed and appreciated talking to you on Monday mornings, Andrew. Have a great flight. We'll talk to you again.
Good night, everybody.
Than I've ever been
playing. On 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
It is Monday morning. Ralph Garman joins us like he does every hour about this time for a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Speaking of Monday morning, we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Today is no different. Kung Fu Panda 3 still continues to sit atop the list of box office winners. $21 million made it number one this weekend. $11.4 million was the debut of Hail Caesar. That made it second. Then The Revenant, Star Wars, The Force Awakens, The Choice were your top five. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies was sixth, debuted with $5.2 million, followed by Finest Hours, right along to The Boy and Dirty Grandpa, rounding out your top ten. Speaking of animated films like Kung Fu Panda 3, the architect of some of the great Disney Pixar animated films, Monsters, Inc., Big Hero 6, real huge talent when it comes to screenwriting, especially for animations. Daniel Gerson has passed away at the age of 49.
Dude, 49?
Yeah.
He was, what happened?
Battling brain cancer.
Oh.
So his family announced his passing today. He also worked on Inside Out and Up and Chicken Little. Did a lot of great work for Disney Pixar. He is survived by his wife, his two children, and his parents. The Gerson family is asking if you'd like to donate something in Daniel's memory because he brought you some joy with Monsters, Inc. and Big Hero 6. You can donate some money to UCLA's Brain Tumor Program, going to giving.ucla.edu. They've got a place there where you can donate some money. So, sad passing because he was a guy with a lot of talent, made a lot of people happy. We talked about in the last hour the Super Bowl commercials. We talked at length about them.
Do you have a list, Ralph?
It was not enough. It was not enough because we did not rank them.
Is there a list?
We did not assign numbers to the commercials, and so Bean was left unsatisfied.
We need a list.
So I thought we would turn to Ad Meter, which is the regular feature in USA Today that they always do after the Super Bowl that measures the success of the ads. The ads that people watching the Super Bowl found the best, most effective, most memorable, and then it ranks them from 1 to 65.
Okay. Is that how many ads there were, 65?
Yes.
At $5 million.
What if I had said there were 67? Would you be furious because they wouldn't mention
it's a good follow-up question.
Commercial 66 and 67?
I'd be confused. $5 million for 30 seconds. So, man, this is a real swing and a miss opportunity for some of these people who had ads that went flat, right?
Yes. A lot of money was spent. And we'll see how successful they were. The number one most popular Super Bowl ad this year.
Puppy Monkey Baby.
I'll have you know, Kevin.
Puppy Monkey Baby.
That Puppy Monkey Baby?
Don't say it.
55th on the list.
Whoa!
55th on the list.
Not enough of your people out there, Kevin.
Puppy Monkey Baby.
55th on the list was the Puppy Monkey Baby. Did not get a good reaction from the Super Bowl audience.
Because it was creepy.
Because it was awesome.
It was too creepy. Awesome.
Because it was a horror movie.
No, it's not. It was adorable.
See, you know that when they make these commercials, a lot of times they're not real. Fiction that is involved.
And even if it was real, it's an adorable puppy with an adorable monkey's body in a diaper and has adorable baby legs sticking out of the bottom of it.
Nothing is adorable about putting those three things in the same body.
All three of those, adorable.
They're all adorable separately. Not adorable together.
Put them together,
I want three times
the awesomeness. Puppy Monkey Baby.
Puppy Monkey Baby.
55th. Damn your list right to hell.
The number one most popular Super Bowl ad. Anyone want to guess?
I do have a guess. And I say this, I didn't even see it during the
say
show
this
yesterday.
As a person who's read the list?
Yeah.
No, I have not seen the list. But I will say that the one that, was people were crazy about online when it was released a few days ago was the, I think it was for Heinz Ketchup.
The hot dogs?
The wiener.
The hot dogs. The little dogs that were running and jumping up on the people with the ketchup outfits on.
That was a dumb commercial. It was dumb.
Really?
It was stupid, dumb, and absurd.
I did not even see it yesterday.
Great man. And yet it was number two on the list. Mm. It was the second most popular Super Bowl commercial.
Behind
Okay, Monkey Baby.
People love cute
bad
dogs.
Halloween costumes of I'm a bottle of ketchup. And then wiener dogs in bad dog Halloween costumes running across the field and jumping on those people.
That was the second most liked.
Second.
Huh. Wow.
Did people really like the Super Bowl babies?
The Super Bowl babies. The babies choir, you
yes.
mean? The ones born in the Super Bowl? That was 12th.
Okay.
12th.
All right. What else was hot yesterday? How about my my sheep singing queen?
The sheep were number 7 on the list from Honda. A new truck to love is that spot was called, and the singing sheep was 7th on the list.
What about the constipation ad?
You know what? Constipation for people who take opioids.
The tied up bowels.
Yeah, how about that
in
one?
In the stands.
What was that?
Trying to
you
find
guys?
The bowels walking around trying to find a bathroom.
What is wrong with people?
That was the best.
Yeah.
Oh, you're the worst.
Somebody had to star in that commercial. Can you imagine?
Oh.
Yeah, that was 62nd on the
list. Okay, all right.
The tied up bowel. The personified bowel that was walking around.
Nuts.
Beans disturbed by the puppy monkey baby, but not by the bowels walking around.
Christine from the other room guesses Doritos with the fetus escaping the mom.
That we loved.
That was pretty great.
We loved
that
one.
Ultrasound
hated.
Commercial.
Great, I did not care for that
was
one at all.
Amazing.
It was fantastic.
But it was third. It was
oh.
not
third.
One. It was third
what are
on
we
the
missing?
List.
What are we missing,
what are we
you guys?
Missing?
Doritos actually had a very good day yesterday because the Dorito dogs, the dogs trying to find a way into the supermarket to buy Doritos until they finally put an overcoat on and they sneak in. That was 4th on the list. So
no,
people
that's not
like
bad.
People like that. Dude, Doritos did very well for themselves.
What are we missing?
All right, Beer Mug's guess is the Kevin Hart Kia commercial where he tracks his daughter on a date.
It was a Hyundai commercial.
All right.
And it was number 1.
But that was it.
Are you kidding me?
Kevin Hart following his daughter around on her first date with a boy. He lets them use the car and he tracks the car. And that first date was number 1. The most beloved Super Bowl commercial of the Super Bowl.
People love Kevin Hart, I guess.
Let me round out the rest of the top 10. Ryanville was 5th, where the women driving around and everybody's Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
Everywhere they
love either.
And they get distracted, but the car stops on its own, so you don't have to die because you love Ryan Reynolds, I guess,
sure.
is the moral of that story. Hyundai also did very well for stuff. Number 1, number 5, as I mentioned, and number 6, the Chase. Did you see the one where the bank robbers are...
The Prius one?
Oh, I'm sorry. The Chase was...
the Chase with the Prius was funny.
The Chase was the Bears.
Oh.
The Bears who are running after the guy, and he starts the car with his voice.
Oh, and he's a vegan. Yeah,
and the Bears like, I just wanted to give him a hug at the end. That was number 6. People like that one.
What about the bank robbing Prius?
That was 10th.
Okay.
The longest chase, that's called. That was 10th on the list with the Prius. Simply Put with Helen Mirren, talking about how bad you are if you drink and drive, was 9th on the list. Mm-hmm. The astronaut who drives the Audi, and it makes him very happy,
was
Starman,
David Bowie,
David
Bosal, yeah.
was 8th. And as I mentioned, New Truck to Love was 7th on that list. So those are your top 10 Super Bowl commercials.
Okay, Monkey Baby.
55th. You know what the worst rated commercial was? Can you guess?
Domestic violence ad for the NFL?
Yeah.
Does that count as a
commercial? People love domestic violence.
No, I don't. You're saying because it's a bummer, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Worse bummer than domestic violence.
What was that?
Toenail fungus.
Oh, yeah.
Going into the spa with Howie Long, getting your toenail fungus taken care of?
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah, that's.
We don't need that.
Nobody needs that.
Nope.
No.
You know what else I noticed about the commercials this year, guys, unless I'm missing one, is there was no overtly sexual ad like there has been in the past with Carl's Jr. or with GoDaddy. There wasn't anything that was just all about hot chicks.
Steven Tyler's face made out of Skittles. That was pretty overtly sexy, I thought.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's progress. Maybe that's a good thing. But it was just unusual for this Super Bowl. Usually there's at least one that's controversial because it's too racy.
How is it a good thing?
Yeah, that's not progress.
Well, we don't see giant cans.
There are a lot of people who think that maybe we should have moved past objectification as women to sell products. That's why.
I still have a penis, right?
You still
I
do, yes.
I believe you do,
right,
yes.
Until that changes, then... No.
But I think you'll still have one even if you don't see those ads.
But it likes to get a workout during the Super Bowl.
You are gross.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Mary Steenburgen is 63 years old today. Novelist John Grisham, 61. Nick Nolte, one of the greats, 75 years old today. Creed Bratton from The Office is 73. Cecily Strong from SNL is 32. Vince Neil's 55. Jeremy Davis is 31. He is a former bassist for Paramore. Dave corrected me.
Oh, well, then let's take him off the list.
When Dave finally showed up, he decided to correct me about my birthday list. So that was nice of him, I thought. John Williams, the composer, is 84 years old. And Seth Green, our buddy, of course, from Robot Chicken and Family Guy and the Austin Powers movies.
Seth Green.
Oh, come on! Seth turns 42. Happy birthday, buddy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All day long today and all throughout the week here on K-Rock, we are hooking you up with tickets to see Death Cab for Cutie in an intimate performance. I'm having trouble saying the words intimate performance today.
Yep.
That'll be at the Grammy Museum at LA Live this Saturday night. Congratulations to Catherine Morrison from Banning. She just won her way in. Your chance to win is coming up in minutes. We have a lot of ways you can get in touch with us here at the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, you can text the program at the number 2KROQ. You can always reach us through the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. At Kevin and Bean on Twitter is fine, too. You can always call the old fashioned way, or you can really old-fashioned way, drop us an email, and that's what we're going to take a look at right now, because we've gotten some very interesting comments from listeners over the past couple of weeks or so. And I want to start with this one from Todd. Remember the topic we were talking about people who lost their wallet or their phone and how they got it back?
Yes.
How crazy is this? I lived for 2 years in Kenya back in the 1980s. I took a trip deep into the mostly wild northern frontier district with a group of friends. Hanging off the back of the truck, we were traveling on the first day of a two-week trip, and my wallet fell out of my back pocket in a relatively underpopulated area. 2 weeks later, I'm heading home on the same road, and we get waved down by some local tribesmen minding a herd of goats. They flag down our truck, and they hand me back my wallet with everything in it. This was 2 weeks later, by the way. These are Kenyan goat tribesmen. 2 weeks later, flag his truck down and hand him back his wallet. It blew my mind. I tried to give them all my cash as a thanks, but they wouldn't take anything. Just another in a long list of stories I have from that amazing part of the world. So says Todd.
Wow. You think they'd be so busy hoeding goats that they wouldn't have time to worry about having found a wallet.
That is an excellent point, Ralph. That is an excellent point. Dear Kevin and Bean, this listener begins. The other day you asked the question, who could possibly suffer from selenophobia? Remember, we played this clip from Jeopardy.
Selenophobia.
What is fear of Mexican music stars?
No, but that's a great response. What is fear of the moon? Fear of the moon.
So I was asking, what would it be like to be afraid of the moon? And why would anybody ever be afraid of the moon? And Kevin, your theory was...
Hell if I know.
Your theory was that you would be afraid that the Earth was on a collision course with the moon.
Because
and that
if the
might
moon gets
freak somebody
bigger,
out.
Maybe you think it's getting closer. I don't know.
Well, guys, Emerson writes in, I know it sounds ridiculous to you, but you did not consider the obvious. As seen in the hit documentary film Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, one of the central characters, a werewolf named Professor Remus Lupin, had a paralyzing fear of the moon. Many werewolves suffer from selenophobia, so severe it completely prevents them from going out at night. I will thank you to never forget our furry brethren again. So we apparently ignored the werewolf contingent that might be in the audience.
Okay.
Got it.
Apologies.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Farhad writes in. Yes, Farhad. Listening to the podcast, I can't believe you've been to Seguin, Texas 4 times, Bean. I was a foreign exchange student there in the year 2000, and my host parents made me to go see the world's largest pecan that you guys always talk about. I even have a picture next to it. You guys can call me anytime so we can chat about it. If you'd like, I am offering to be your world's largest pecan correspondent, says Farhad.
Here's my problem with that.
Do you think we need him?
No, because it's not a pecan. It's
the world's largest pecan.
No, it isn't. Right. It's cement in the shape of a pecan. I know because Bean dragged me there. Oh, it's not even a pecan.
Right.
It's cement.
Right. Perhaps you would like to discuss
you
that.
You go right to hell.
With our world's largest pecan correspondent, Farhad. Why don't we get him on the line and see what he has to say about it? I think he might approach it differently. And finally, dear Kevin and Bean, I am a podcast listener and about a week behind. Last week you had a What's Good segment and a listener called in regarding the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Nope.
You dismissed him immediately despite the fact that he had a valid point.
No.
Hear me out.
What was his point?
His point was that we should still be doing the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, and why did we drop it?
Nope.
This listener, Matthew, says,
I looked it up. Because we had done it 300 times.
And it was always bad.
And Ralph finally just refused to do it.
A listener, Matthew, writes in to say, I looked it up, and on October 15th, 2013, there was a scientific survey regarding the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, and the verdict was that the wheel is awesome and the tradition should be continued. As listeners, we have come to accept many things over the years due to the strict law that once an item has been decided on the scientific survey, it is fact and cannot be challenged or disputed.
Those are our rules. That's true.
Is he right?
I mean,
the scientific
yes.
survey voted that the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices should continue, and continue it must. To decline to do it is to challenge every ruling that you have ever made in the scientific survey. That would include things such as Half Christmas, The Hot Bell, and Cute Corner at KROQ.com. These things are well established in the respective places for a good reason and should be left just where they are. So he is demanding that we bring back the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices because the scientific survey said it is awesome and it should be continued.
Did we check on that? Did we double check he's got his facts straight? Because maybe that's not even the case.
I mean, it sounds to me like it's fairly well sourced. He's got the date, October 15th, 2013. It sure sounds like something we would have done that Ralph would have insisted at some point we put to a vote. And it sounds like the listeners sided with do the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
I have the wheel, but I don't remember any of the stories that are on it.
I say Matthew makes a great point to write in.
This is awful.
And that we should do the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Okay, now how does that work? We call the place and then the animal answers,
right? No, you call to talk to someone about the story,
right?
Kevin. And then somehow the phone will answer. Right. And it might be the animal that's the point of the story might pick up that phone, Kevin.
Why do you mock that? Why do you say that as if it's not real?
Oh, it's so funny because all these animals are wacky animals. And then what happens when that wacky animal picks up the phone? Then it's hilarity.
Matthew, we present for you, and thank you for the email, the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the
Maybe because the intro's a half an hour long. Another reason we don't do it.
Come on, that felt good, Ralph.
No,
Kevin,
what's
on the wheel as we prepare to make this phone call?
I have the fry-stealing rat.
Oh, we hope that guy who doesn't answer will pick up a phone somehow.
I have the
stealing a fry.
Punado-producing sperm whale. I have the sexiest dinosaur.
I'm leaving the room.
Ralph, come on back.
Come on, we're having a good time, Ralph.
I have Tanu, the raccoon dog, and I have the horny dog that got stuck in a cat door, and I have Clive, the cat that went missing for a year and got found fat and happy. So let's spin the wheel. We spin the wheel, right? And then
yes, we spin the wheel, and whoever it lands on, we make that phone call. Some good choices on the wheel today.
Clive, the cat, missing for a year, found fat and happy.
All right, well, I'm not really that interested in that story, but let's... do we dial out, or do we already have miraculously somebody on the phone from England?
I'm pretty sure that we probably already have them on hold.
Oh, that's incredible. What are the chances?
So, this cat...
Hold on a minute. You spun a wheel with a bunch of different stories on it.
Right.
Yet there was one of the stories you had on hold. It just happened to work out that was the same one that you were going to call the wheel stopped.
We had all of them on hold on different lines.
I don't buy that for a minute.
I don't think I do either.
All right, so Clive the cat went missing for a year.
Yeah, hi, this is Clive the cat. How are you?
Oh, really? We thought somebody from the pet store was going to answer the phone.
Are you surprised that an animal has picked up the phone and then is also talking to you?
Workers at the Kettlegate Pet Superstore's warehouse in Stapleton, England, have been trying to catch the cat for 14 months. He's been missing, and they finally caught him in a trap in the warehouse. It's a mystery to where he's been, but he couldn't have ended up at a better place. What with all the free pet food that he could dream of. Hold on.
It's a mystery where I've been, but the people in the food warehouse have been trying to catch me for 14 months.
Yes, both.
Yes.
That's not much of a mystery. I've been in the freaking warehouse with all the food, haven't I?
Right, but I think that they were surprised that you were still in the warehouse. They feared at some point, I guess, that you may have gotten out a door and then were lost in the wilderness.
I'm in a big building filled with food. Why would I run out of a door and go away from where the food is?
That does make a lot of sense. And it also says you've gained a tremendous amount of weight. In fact, you've been called Porky in the article.
I'm a large cat. I am not small.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I'm a big fat cat who's been eating a lot of food for the right. past 14 months in a warehouse.
And isn't it great for our listeners that we called to hear that from you, Clive?
Yes. Oh, it could have been worse. You could have taken a phone call from someone who is holding goats.
K-Rock, it's Kevin and Bean at 941.
And that beatboxer extraordinaire is Ralph Garman, who is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning.
Because it is a Monday, we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office so you can see what people went to see in theaters over the weekend. Sort of a slow movie-going weekend due to Super Bowl Sunday, of course, and Close-Em-Again.
Close-Em-Again, oh, yeah. Sure.
Where the 101 was closed for 40 hours. Did they get it back up and running by the time they said?
Early.
Before kickoff?
Yep.
Good for them.
Good for them.
Kung Fu Panda was number one at the box office with $21 million. Then Hail Caesar, in its debut, made $11.4 million, made it number two. The Revenant was third. Star Wars The Force Awakens, fourth. Then The Choice was fifth. The Choice was that awful-looking romantic comedy thing.
Ugh. Nicholas Sparks?
Yeah,
it did not look good. Right.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies came in at number six with $5.2 million. Then The Finest Hours, Ride Along 2, The Boy, and Dirty Grandpa running out your top 10. Kevin, did you see Ride Along 2? Have you seen
that
one yet?
No.
Stunned.
I would love to, but I've been very busy, Ralph. Very busy.
Last hour, we talked about the top ranked Super Bowl commercials from the broadcast yesterday. Some folks sent me emails and tweets asking about their favorites.
Puppy Monkey Baby.
Puppy Monkey Baby was 55th on the list.
That's just stupid.
It's not really stupid. It's just how it's stupid. Showed up on the list, Kevin. People did not respond to it like you did.
Puppy Monkey Baby.
Did it make you want to buy Mountain Dew, Kevin?
Made me want to buy a Puppy Monkey Baby is what it made me do.
I'm on a wait list.
Oh, really? They have a list?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm screwed now. My name's not on the list. I mentioned two of my favorites, and these were favorites of some of our listeners as well, and I did not mention where they landed on the list, but the walk-in closet, as the spot is being called, it's in the walk-in closet.
Yeah.
He would go into that closet, and waiting for him in the walk-in closet was Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken.
Beige socks get devoured by designer socks. You want to be devoured? And he did his Kia commercial in there. That was 15th on the list. And then my personal favorite, which was Willem Dafoe as Marilyn Monroe standing on the subway grate from that scene from 7 Year Itch where her skirt gets blown up. And then she gets a snicker and she becomes Marilyn Monroe. That was 16th on the list. So they were in the top 20, but not as beloved as the freaking wiener dogs running through a forest with hot dog costumes on.
They're pretty cute.
America's
pretty cute
stupid.
Dogs.
I own a dachshund, and I don't care about that commercial. People dressed in bad ketchup outfits being jumped on by wiener dogs. Dumb! Second most popular commercial. Avocados in Space was 17th. Hmm. That was awful.
Yeah, that was terrible. I didn't get that.
And here is Scott Baio, and here is avocado. You can eat it all year long.
Okay. What about that Jeff Goldblum one?
Apartments.com?
That was weird.
That was moving on up.
Don't
that
you get it?
Was
with George Washington.
You don't understand. He was moving on up.
I understand completely.
He was moving on up.
Puppy Monkey Baby.
That was 29th on the list. Right. Crushed Puppy Monkey Baby,
that's
by the way.
Insanity.
How about the crazy Taco Bell commercial with George Takei cackling at the end? The Chalupa, whatever that one was?
I think I saw that one.
Taco Bell? No?
Trying to scan my list here, see if I see anything Taco Bell jumping out.
They definitely had it. It was some new product they were rolling out, I thought.
Did they break it in half? I remember.
What?
What are we doing right now?
Let's let Ralph continue.
Okay.
Rather than you guys try and think of a commercial that Taco may not have seen.
It was a Taco Bell commercial during the Super Bowl. I thought that was appropriate. For
what else happened other than George Takei?
I think they broke it in half.
Stop saying they broke it in half. That doesn't mean anything to anyone.
I feel like I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember. I'm
sorry. Like I don't remember or you don't remember.
Yeah, I
back
don't
to
remember.
You, Ralph.
All right. All I know is from now on, I am only watching all football games while listening at the same time to the German simulcast of the announcers. Have you ever heard Germans announce football?
No.
It's the perfect marriage of sport and announcer.
Well, it's a beautiful language.
It's a harsh, brutal language for a harsh, brutal game. And I've never been more happy in my life. And thanks to Michael Dunaway, who sent me this link of the German announcers announcing the Super Bowl. Here they are, losing their minds. See, the Germans love defense. That's why you gotta love the Germans talking about how awesome it is when Cam Newton gets sacked and the ball gets stripped, and then the Broncos fall on that fumble in the end zone to score a defensive touchdown.
Right.
You've never heard two happier Germans in your life. Other than maybe in the late 1930s, you've never heard happier Germans. Here's some Germans announcing the Super Bowl.
Sie lassen Vorsicht walten bisher hier. Und da haben sie ihn! Das gibt's doch nicht! Touchdown Denver nach super Defense! Er wackelt! Der Showman wackelt! Cam Newton! Und die Defense der Broncos übernimmt die Geschichte hier! Ich bin gar nicht mehr.
Von Miller hat mal wieder gezeigt, was für ein unfassbarer Spieler es ist. Ja!
Von Miller!
Ja! Das Super Defense! Touchdown! Das Super Defense! Seifenstuss in Broncos! Van Miller, welches Seifenstuss! Und Deutschdamen, Seifenstuss!
That is terrifying.
Oh, makes him just want to go out and declare war.
That's fantastic.
Oh, Germans announcing football is my new favorite thing. I'm going to start a blog.
Germans announcing football.
Sie lassen Vorsicht walten bisher hier.
Ja! Und da haben sie Das gibt's doch nicht! Touchdown Denver nach super Defense! Er wackelt! Der Showman wackelt! Cam Newton und die Defense der Broncos übernimmt die Geschichte hier! Ich bin gar nicht mehr...
Von Miller hat mal wieder gezeigt, was für ein unfassbarer Spieler es ist.
Weiter mit der crashenden Breakensendenmann! Ein Dreisch und... And der Bradoverst und der Black Man is brought down! Von Miller!
What will you think of next, Germany?
Oh, man.
They make good stuff, the
Germans.
That's
what I hear.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Mary Steenburgen is 63 years old today. John Grisham turned 61. Creed Bratton. Remember him from The Office. How funny was he? Very, Ralph. He was very
Ralph.
Funny.
Former member of the Grassroots, if I recall correctly, from the time we had him on as a guest, too, Ralph.
I believe you're right. Cecily Strong from SNL was 32. Vince Neil's 55. Composer John Williams turns 84. Our buddy Seth Green, actor, writer, director, producer, can do it all. He's 42 years old.
Seth Green.
Oh, come on. We love him. And Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte. And even 75. And also then Ivan Richman Poorman. And also Ivan the Deep. Und alle Erfahrer scheint es nur zu Alkun Cinema aus der Eifers. Aber sein Wunder sein.
I love Germans.
That's an ugly language.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin DeBean Show. Comedian Eliza Schlesinger will join us in studio. We've got the Bachelor Report. We have Malcolm Jamal Warner, who plays A.C. Cowlings in The People vs. O.J. Simpson. And Haley Atwell.
What the what?
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning on an All-New Kevin DeBean Show.